I call this work session of Banana County Board Supervisors to order. We'll begin with the pledge of allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. All right, tonight our work session is going to be a budget review and agency presentations. Mr. Dahl.
It's budget review. Budget review, no agency presentations.
All right, I was sitting here going, I thought we'd listen to everybody.
No, agency presentations. Budget review. Just one thing I just wanted to get with the board, pre-budget stuff here, kind of off topic of budget. So if you remember, the board approved to move forward with the logo for the water elevated storage tank.
Right. Yep,
so they came back with a price of $19,500, which was right in line with what we said before, what the price was going to be. And it's going to be 18 feet tall by 34 feet wide. I'm going to have something coming forward on the next agenda for next Wednesday for the board to approve the change order, but I just want to get some head nods to move forward because they're going to start, the contractor is going to start painting the tank probably pretty soon, and they need to start getting the templates ready. So they wanted to kind of get some information by Monday so we could get going on this. So would the board...
We're all still good with that, aren't we?
When are we going to get some water in it?
Water, final completion of the water is November 2020, but they'll probably start getting some water in probably around, I would say, June, July, but it's not going to be ready to hook up at that point because the whole system has to be complete.
I would say so.
Yes.
Out of that, we're going to have a lot of fountains.
Yes.
All right, well, so that's already on the agenda for next board meeting, but I'm going to go ahead and tell the contractor to move forward with that. Kind of, you know, logo hasn't changed, and it's going to look fantastic. So Liz, why don't we go ahead and hit the link here? So I guess what we'll kind of do is we'll go over and give the board some changes from where we were last meeting.
Okay, hit the enable.
You want me to hide?
Hide and enable content, please. You don't leave those open.
Okay.
You might want to leave those open for right now.
Okay, so if you remember, last week, the surplus we had was $251,000. We're actually now at $263,000. As we said, you know, every week things change. So just today, I got an updated, and I told the board this was going to come. I got some updated budget figures from the Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention, what our share of the budget is. And I told the board before that the superintendent for Blue Ridge was kind of going back to the drawing board on some things. So our budget ended up coming down another $12,000. So instead of being at 251, we're at 263 now. So that's the big change that occurred since last week. And what we'll do, we'll go through and just kind of do a quick rundown of all the changes, and then we can kind of get right into it. So if you remember, under residential real estate, a couple weeks ago, the commissioner gave us some updated tax values. That equates to $25,000 in real estate revenue. Mobile homes went down just a little bit by $594. He got all of his more updated personal property figures in, which gave us $121,000. Keep on going down, Liz. We already talked about the Zions Crossroads capital project. We had the $2.7 million that was coming out of fund balance in the budget, but because we need to get that funded sooner than the start of the new fiscal year, we pulled that out. So you see revenue up there of $2.7 million, and down below in the expense, there's also a $2.7 million. We talked about convenience center fees, which was a $20,000 increase. The board approved increasing some convenience center fees. So since my budget, we added $20,000 in addition to true up some of the school's budget numbers, less what the board wants to provide to the schools from county funding. This was their other local funding. So there's a reduction in revenue up here, and then there's also a reduction in expense down below. So So at this point, where the school's budget is, from here to the $679,000, that's kind of where the school stands. So the school's request from this base level right here, after we take out this $250,000, anywhere from zero to $679,000, that's what the board's going to be making the decision on.
Well, can't we talk about what they get from the state? Didn't they get about $1 million extra in the state?
They did.
We need to look at all that together, yep. Not just one aspect.
Yep, correct. So we also talked about when we had our budget. In my budget, I had a 2% salary increase for staff. At the time, we weren't sure what was going to be coming through. So after the fact, there's actually some reimbursement for social services employees as well. So this is reimbursement based upon 2%. If the board decided they wanted to only do a 1% increase for staff, well, that amount would go down. If the board decided they want to do a 3% increase for staff, then that amount would go up. But in addition, there would have to be additional expense for all staff as well. So that's where it stands right now. Keep on going down. What we wanted to do, we wanted to put some figures in here for you right now so you can make a determination. As I said, in the county administrator's proposed budget, I had a 2% increase for staff. So 1% equals $66,769. So if the board said we don't want to fund a 2% increase, we want to fund a 1% increase, well, subtract $66,769. If the board says instead of a 2%, we want to do a 3%, well, then you have to add $66,000.
What was the 2%? Did you say 68,000? No. Or 120?
133.
133 is the
2%. 133 was the 2%. Okay. Yeah. And that's including the social services reimbursement.
Oh, and that's in there too. Then.
Yeah. Yeah. That's included in there.
That would help reduce it then.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because I had $168,000 in my budget for the 2%, and then we found out about the reimbursement for social services, which was $37,000. So that helps on that side. We also talked about health insurance last week, and we'll kind of get into this a little bit more. We talked about option 3 under the health insurance plan, which was, you know, most employees would see a reduction in premiums. And there was the one tier of the employee children that would have to go to the family plan, that most employees would, one, they would either be held harmless with the 2% increase. There's a few employees that in order to go to that plan, they may have to change plans that they go to. So if you're on a 250 plan right now, if you don't want to see your premium go up, you may have to go down to a 500. But we can show you, I can show you a list of how that affects some of those employees. But anyway, in my budget, I had $68,000 for a 4% increase. So in addition to not having a 4% increase, we had an overall 20% decrease. Now, if the county said we want to take all that 20% decrease, it would actually equate to $357,000. But in my plan to hold, to one, it was decreasing some of the employees' premiums, and then also holding that one group of employee children as harmless as we could be, and then some family plans took a reduction. So under my option 3 plan that we discussed last week, if we want to go that route, it would be minus $68,000, minus $213,000. So that would add up to the $263,000. As additional surplus.
But on the beginning, actually, there was $350,000 to begin with.
There was, and we 357. So if the board said, you know what, we don't want the staff to see any, we don't want the staff to reflect the increase or reflect the decrease, the county reflects the decrease, then it is $357,000 straight to county.
Why does the county always have to pick up everything?
They don't have to. I mean, like I said, what we had to do, Mr. Weaver, for this one is because of the way that we're changing from plans.
I understand all that.
You know, to really leave a certain segment of our employees harmless, we kind of had to structure it a little bit differently. So, you know, instead of having some employees taking a $200 to $300 a month increase, we had to restructure some of the employee children and family plans to make it a little more...
So how does that affect them now?
What do you mean?
How does that affect them now with that?
It's 15. It's 15.
What we can do, we can...
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, I can show you a list of the 15 employees. It doesn't have names against them, and it kind of shows what their plans are, and we can show you how that affects them.
That's what I heard about some of it.
Yep, so like I said, that's about $280,000, a little bit more than $280,000 that could go to the surplus. In addition to the sheriff's office, Ms. Rice presented a sheriff's office pay adjustment plan, a new kind of separate pay band to address some of the issues with hiring and retaining sheriff's deputies and compression. In order to implement that plan, that would be a little over $69,000. Keep on going down. We talked about the registrar's relocation. This is still kind of in the mix, but so nominally we talked about one, renting a new space for the registrar. In order to move to a new location, we figured there may need to be some furniture costs as well, possibly. So just kind of off the cuff, we put a $5,000 wedge in there for some just furniture and cabinet cost in some type of new location. I don't necessarily know if that's what it would be, but just as a kind of a wedge, we put that in there. And then down below is also under general services, because anything that we do that supports county buildings, whether it's electric, you know, when we used to rent the Commonwealth Attorney's building, we rented that from, that was under the general services budget. So down below, once we get down there, you'll see where the initial rent charge would be for a building. Drug court, I know Commonwealth Attorney, Clerk of the Court, and Sheriff Hess, they all talked to you about the drug court program, what that can do for Fluvanna citizens. And you know, I know Sheriff Hess is here and Jeff is here, Jeff Haselb is here as well. So if you have further questions about that, but again, my budget did not include the drug court. To implement drug court, that's $45,000. Now remember with the drug court, and I can let Mr. Haselb speak on this, but it was discussed, you know, is that a figure that we need to include in the budget? Is it going to be a one-year cost, kind of a one-time cost, and you can get grant funds later? If it's a one-time cost, well, then maybe we do that out of BOS contingency or something else. Like I said, we can discuss that a little bit more. Keep on going. We talked about under E911 at the last board meeting, the board approved a contract for some new technology under E911, and we said there was an amount of $6,100, $6,105 that was not included in the budget. It was for maintenance costs, so we added that there as a new expense. Under correction and detention, so two things. The Central Virginia Regional Jail reduction from when my budget was proposed is $58,320. And then just today, I just added this because I looked at the new figures for the new budget that was sent to me. So it's also a reduction of $11,500. So total for my budget, the convention and detention budget went down over $69,000. And then we talked about this before. There's a personnel change, and it's just a swap between two different departments, just reflecting where that person is in the department. There's no extra dollars. And then under the registrar relocation rent, as we talked about a little bit before, that reflects, and these figures are not final. We are still working with the property management company, and there's one other option that we're going to look at too, but since this is the most feasible one at this point, we're just putting that wedge in there right now, because if we're going to have to do something. So the annual rent charge, the high water mark would be $45,600 a year to relocate the registrar. Now, in addition to that, if we relocated her to this new suite, there would be some one-time upfront cost possibly for, you know, doing some minor configuration changes. So one, you could either include that amount and you could have the property management company do that, and then they maybe include that in the rental amount, or we could contract that out on our own.
Is that the price that you negotiated?
No, we haven't gotten into the negotiated prices yet.
You haven't let your right-hand man negotiate that yet, have you?
He's still working on
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah.
We're still working on that, Mr. Weaver. So, like I said, actually, we just met, so Mr. Rothmel, myself, and then Joyce Pace, and then we met with each one of their electoral board members separately to walk both of the suites. We did that, what day did we do that?
Monday.
So there's been some conversations between Joyce and her electoral board, and they just had to think some things through. So we'll be in further discussions on how we're moving forward.
So is that for 2 years or 3 years?
We haven't given them what it would be.
What are you looking for?
We would probably start with 2 years and then do up to, you know,
an extension,
1 year renewals or something like that.
Yeah, or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Because the nice part about that will be all these places where they have this equipment stored that are not controlled.
Everything will be in
one. Everything will be in a controlled atmosphere.
Yep. We talked about Board of Equalization before. This was just an error on our part. We broke out reassessment and Board of Equalization, and when we broke them out, we forgot to add the Board of the Equalization piece. So it's a very minor amount for Board of Equalization, some office supply cost and some meeting cost. Here is the school's request in local funding. They're requesting $679,146 over last fiscal year.
Over last fiscal year.
Yes.
But that was also, we all, almost, before we put a number there, need to wait until we get the budget from Richmond to find out what Richmond's going to fund.
So,
because if they fund a 2% raise for the teachers this year, they were talking about doing a 2% or 3% over budget.
They're talking about a 2%.
But not doing it until next year.
Yeah, there's a few things too. I'll have Mariana and Jessica chime in on a few things. There's a few different salary things coming out from the state as far as some comp board things and some school salary things that aren't finalized yet. But right now in the school's budget for the 679, you want to talk about what?
Well, I talked to Brenda Gillum today, and she indicated at this point, now again, it's not final until tomorrow when they vote, but she said at this point it appears there's a 2% raise in there for teachers for this year, which has already been included in the school's budget and part of and their request.
Yeah.
That's how what it appears right now, unless something changes from now to tomorrow, which, you know, how that goes.
So the state figures are
what we have
should go up, and ours should go down.
No,
it's already figured in. They figured that 2% in when they submitted their budget.
She calculated on one of the plans. She calculated what the state would be providing for the 2%.
But the total amount state they're giving is about $1 million. Is that not right?
They're giving about 1.1. The state's giving us 1.1. We could probably.
I understand that several teachers also have been added into that.
We can pull up the school's budget request and we can take a look at that.
I mean, we're not talking about that $1 million that they're getting from the state much. It's just, you know, take it for granted.
No,
that should pick up some things.
We can take a look at the school's budget request and we'll show you what everything is. And then we talked about this 250 that just subtracts from the schools because they were kind of truing up some of their other local revenue and go down, I think. And then again, we talked about the Zion's Crossroads capital project. We moved out $2.7 million in revenue and we moved out the expense because it's not going to be in the budget. We're going to be doing it coming to the board here soon. So
next meeting.
Yep, next meeting. So what does the board want to start with? How do we want to move forward with taking a look at some of this? I mean, obviously the revenues are what the revenues are. We're not going to necessarily change what the revenues are. Well, let me say this. The only thing that the board can change at this point for revenues are if they want to change the tax rates or anything like that. But maybe it may be beneficial to go down and take a look at some of the items as far as expenditures that are out there, and then we can figure out how to move forward.
I would almost like to just say, okay, guys, what would we like to add in? What would we want to look at?
I'd like to take what we'd like to take out.
Okay, well, the drug court. I mean, I'd like to look at that. Can we do that out of Board of Supervisors contingency? Is that a question, Mr. Hazel, if you could answer?
Well, we
it'd be up to the board.
So we.
Well, if it was a one-time thing that we would be doing for one time, if it is, that's something that, rather than building that into the budget, there's no need to put $45,000 in the budget.
As I said during the presentation, that's our hope and expectation is that we will find grants to pick that up moving forward. The grants are always. None of them are guaranteed, but that is our...
It looks promising now.
How does Charlottesville's drug court survive?
It's through the grant program. It's got multiple grants.
And it's been there for years.
20 years.
Don't offer it for a startup. You've got to be up and running to get the grant.
Before you get a grant.
Yes, ma'am.
Will we be covering more than just Blue Vanna? Like, will Buckingham be sending folks over?
No.
Just
Blue Vanna, yep.
So that's one item we can either, one, add it into the budget and it affects the tax rate, or we can say, you know what, come July 1, we can have something come forward to the board, or we could even do it sooner than that, make it effective July 1, mm-hmm. that drug court and that $45,000 comes out of the BOS contingency. And what do we start off with BOS contingency? 150 or 200?
150, I can go with
it'd still be a good amount if we did the 45. It'd still be a right good amount.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's 150. The CRM was 200. Capital right. was 200.
I can tell you what the numbers look like now.
Yeah.
So the question is, do we add the drug court?
Yeah, that's the question. Do you want to add it in to affect the tax rate, or do you just want it?
Not to affect
150.
We did that. For it not to affect the promoted Board of Supervisors contingency.
So we have $150,000 budgeted here out of BOS contingency.
And
so
we have some left over in it, correct?
Not much.
Not much, no. And remember, BOS contingency doesn't roll over.
It's 39 in there right now.
Which is like
keep dropping back there, you know.
Well, we almost got enough in it to cover.
We run out of money eventually.
So if it doesn't roll over, it goes back into...
goes back to fund balance. I mean, like I said, that's the board's, most budget things are at the board's discretion, but the BOS contingency, you know, we have contingency pots that are set up per our financial policies to have some type of reserve in there, and the BOS contingency is one of those. So, I mean, unless the board approves the dollars, it doesn't come out of there. But anyway, if we wanted to fund the 45 out of the BOS contingency, starting July 1, you just have $105,000 for the year.
I would think if you put it in that, then if we get reimbursed for it, then that money would go back into contingency fund then.
What do you mean if you get reimbursed?
Well, if we get the grant.
We won't get reimbursed, but it'll pick it up next year.
It may pick it up the following
we
year.
We won't have to pay for it anymore. We just pay for it the one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for fiscal year 21, you may have less of a BOS contingency, and then the next year, your BOS contingency would stay the same at the 150.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So, I mean, is that kind of the game plan? Is that what the board would like to see?
Yeah. Okay. I think I would go with it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So we'll leave that there. We won't add that there. So we'll come, once the budget's all finalized, we'll come forward with something because we'll have to do some type of formal action of an agenda item.
The sheriff, we wanted to talk about the sheriff's office because that's one of the big things. It was a big ask to try and get our salaries competitive.
So stop right there.
Is that okay with everyone?
Sure.
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 So these are the pluses that we've looked at. Mm-hmm. You know, there's three of them. That the drug court we just took care of.
Registrar.
The sheriff's department. We registrar we already took care of. So the only two things left are the sheriff's department pay raise possibly, and then the insurance. As far as I can tell, now we can go back and look at other things in the budget. But then that's when you're going back, Mr. Weaver, and talking about things that you want to take out.
Yeah,
we just approved paying for the drug court out of the
order. Good, I was going to say that's really important to me. So I didn't want to miss his meeting specifically for that.
Now
I'm going to go back to my coronavirus. Good. could have seen him. I said, I hear getting a alarm removed. It's okay.
Okay, so the sheriff's office pay adjustment, I mean, sheriff, Jessica, do you want to talk on this? Do you want Sheriff Hess to speak on this? Sheriff's office pay stuff.
Well, I presented it last week, and what we're looking to do, obviously, is to address the recruiting and retention efforts in the sheriff's office and just pay for our current deputies that are in there so that if we do adjust the pay bands, we don't end up with a bunch of compression in the middle. I can share with you, and I know the sheriff would want me to share this, there was another deputy that resigned yesterday. This is really important, I think, for the county as far as building a program and being in line with our local, our friends locally too, in other surrounding counties. Do you have anything to add, Sheriff?
No, I mean, we're trying to be competitive with other agencies our size. The last one left for a much larger agency, but a three-year deputy, that particular person's salary was right into 43s, and at 3 years, you're very marketable wherever you go. And if we don't get a little more competitive with the pay of the Louisa, Green, Madison, Goochland, I'm talking about Albemarle or anything, but if we can't compete with them, then we're going to be always behind. And right now, like I've told you in the presentation, over 250 deputies short, state police is over 200 troopers short. They're fixing to get a lot of money. They could come and take additional deputies like they did throughout the state last year, because they're going to get good pay raises this year. And I don't know that it'll affect us, but it'll certainly affect sheriffs throughout the state.
Can you explain how compression comes about?
Compression comes about when you don't move people up to midpoint. And that's one of the problems we have here in the county. You can be a 17-year employee and not even be in the midpoint of a 25-year career. And that's what we need to work on, is you can't look down the road and say, oh, in 20 years, I know I'll be at max. It doesn't exist in this county. And that's what we're doing with this public safety pay scale. If you don't give employees a regular, we did away with the steps. If you don't continually raise the pay for people, then they're not ever going to progress. And that's why most other agencies around us have steps. In Albemarle County, you can look 25 years down the road, even if you don't get promoted, you'll know what money you're going to be making at that time. And that doesn't include any COLAs that you get. So that's where the compression is. If we don't get an increase from the county itself, then we go nowhere. And usually we've gotten some increases, but we're not keeping up and getting ahead of inflation also. And we're not keeping up with the agencies around us.
So is there a solution? I mean, how do you get to where you want to be?
Well, a lot of agencies will say, at your third year, we're going to give you a 5% raise. Mm-hmm. Because you're a good employee. You're working independently now with a little supervision. And they're building that into the system. So guess what? That starting person, where you might raise the starting pay, that three-year person, they might be making very close to the same amount.
And that's what Savannah County did years ago. They gave teachers an 15% raise when they got to the 15th year. And that, we were doing that, which we didn't, you know, we got a lot of criticism about it, but that was what needed to be done.
Yes, ma'am.
To keep teachers.
If you build those in 3-year increments or 4-year increments, guess what? You will be at midpoint, and you will be at max.
Right.
And I would think there's not a single person in our agency that is where they should be in their level.
Moselle, don't they have two scales now in education?
They got two scales.
Yeah. Yes. Did you say to me the other night that you thought the differential between what he was making here and where his new job is going to be like $12,000?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, right now, a 2-year person can walk into UVA for $50,000.
What do you pay them?
42.
Okay. So drive 20 minutes and you make $8,000 more?
Yes.
it's hard to compete against that.
We can't compete against them, you know, but I'm running out of, oh, you can go home and eat with your family and you can do this and that. At some point, like this young man, he has a family, he's got children, you know, and, you know, everybody wants to do better, and we're smaller, so there's not as much room for advancement, promotion and stuff. So, but we have to implement in the future, not just for the sheriff's office, but for everybody, to where when you're a good, dedicated employee, and you're here for a period of time, then you need to be recognized and moved up so you stay ahead of those starting salaries. And if we don't, we'll never get out of compression.
Did we used to do that? Did we used to do steps?
I think sometimes.
Yes.
A long time ago. I'm not sure when.
2006, I started here. There were steps. Mm-hmm. And some, I think it's 8 maybe or 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I went away. Since 11, we haven't had steps.
Well, it's when the economy went steps, because the same thing happened with the school system. Yeah. We had steps, but they just never gave you your steps.
And that's
when schools were not going to give you your steps.
Sorry. Somewhere about that time.
Don't have enough money to give you anything.
But what you're getting is it's a profession that people aren't pursuing because you work nights, weekends, and we work two weeks more a year than any other county employee, because we work an 84-hour cycle. So,
well, one of the things I kind of wanted to share with the board too is these are targeted raises. This is not everyone across the whole department is seeing a pay raise. So we did a lot of work around calibrating years of service and level of responsibility and adjusting internally for that. And that number also includes recognizing the deputies that are on the roads overnight and on the weekends.
It gives differential pay.
Yeah, shift differential. Yeah. So, you know, if this does get passed, you're going to see a pay plan come forward that addresses all of those things.
Because somewhere along the line, we need to, the old saying, take the bull by the horns and stop continuously just moving along and putting on bandages. And I'd like to see a total program timeline. I mean, how are we going to get to where we know we can get and sustain it? And that's the work. I mean, that's a lot of work. That's something that we should be working on, and not just every budget cycle, every once in a while, we adjust here and we adjust there. It has to be a better way.
So does the board want to do anything with the sheriff's office pay adjustment for this?
Mr. Weaver, yeah. Ms. Eager?
Yes, we do.
Well, that's 3 yeses already.
Okay, so Liz add 69.75 in there right now.
They said yes. They both said yes.
Shut up, late. I don't count.
Tony and I both were late. I'm 13.
Okay, so
sorry, before I forget.
All right. Agreed on the sheriff's department.
Sorry, okay. I didn't want to forget to do that.
So that went from 263 down to 193 of surplus. So some other things. Do you want to talk about the registrar's one next?
Yeah,
just since we can kind of address that, and then we can come up and talk about insurance and some of the other pay stuff. So the registrar location, as I said, I added 45.6 in there for rent, which we know should be kind of the high watermark at this point. We have, as we said a little earlier, we haven't gotten into any negotiations yet. We just had the electoral board and the registrar go through there. But as it stands right now, we have $5,000 in the registrar's budget for some relocation expenses for furniture, maybe some cabinets, things of that nature. And then down below, we have $45,600. Or the actual rent piece. So it's, you know, $50,600 total. So what's the board want to do with that? And we hope that we can get that in lower. And we're looking at, I'll tell you this, one other option that we're looking at too, that was brought to our attention by the electoral board when I just met with them yesterday. They had a thought of, well, couldn't the county just buy or lease, for lack of a better thing, you know, like the big school trailers, like the big mobile office trailer things, and put them somewhere.
One of the discussions was, well, couldn't we put him over by the sheriff's office or the library? And I said, well, one, I don't even know what the cost of those are. I don't know the feasibility from plumbing, electricity, internet. We're talking, like I said, just kind of brought the idea to Calvin yesterday. So we haven't even gotten into that yet, but that was one idea that the electoral board had. They were being very, very sensitive to the fact that $45,000 a year is a big number to pay per year. So they're thinking, well, is there a way to either buy these and then they can be reused later, or lease them or save some money? So again, it's just an idea. And if the board says, don't go forward with it, we'll drop it completely right now and just move with renting out some type of suite option.
Well, I think you have to know what it's going to cost.
We can look at it. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we haven't even gotten any figures at this point, but I can't imagine it would cost any more than $45,600 a year.
What other options would you have? I mean, none. Me, you're almost forced into this, whether you want to do it or not. Am I on the wrong track?
No, you're exactly on the right track. We don't have a whole lot of options.
Well, we can leave it alone, but we know that that's a problem.
But
you know what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We can tell them we can just leave it alone and do nothing.
I don't think that'll work
because we are going to probably need a second location somewhere, whether you're renting it out for 6 months out of the year and then, you know, Joyce is in her office for here, and then for 2 months out of the year during the 45 days she's got to go set up over here and do this, and then if there's a primary she's back here for 2 months and goes sets up again. It just gets to be one. Then you're getting into a lot of draw on some of the public works staff too, to be moving all this equipment back and forth. With the one consolidate option, everything and the equipment's right there. Now, granted, you're still going to have some type of movement of equipment going through the different precincts, but it's going to be minimized by having everything at one location. You'll have some efficiencies in there.
But this has all been brought on by Richmond, because they hadn't changed the law and extended it.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I don't think they have the slightest idea what they're doing half the time. The ramifications that it brings upon other counties. We get the results.
Have you been up there to see where they put their stuff? I'm not blaming the state. We have a crummy place to put our machines. It's damp. Things have been flooded down there. They're going up these concrete steps. It's not a good place, regardless of whether the state asks us to do anything or not.
We wouldn't have done anything if the state had changed it.
If we'd have done something, we'd have put an egg on shed somewhere, or put something up somewhere, which would have been a whole lot cheaper than to rent something, but we don't have that opportunity.
We're talking high security voting equipment, so we need to be very mindful where we put it.
But let's put it in the shack that says commies welcome.
I talked to our IT folks about the trailer idea, and they're concerned about the equipment in a trailer type situation.
Yeah.
Plus, if it is over there near the sheriff's office, library, whatever, we still can't use that internet connection because of the security issues.
When you add in plumbing and you add in electricity, I can't imagine that would be any cheaper than renting these two places for 2 years. And we're looking at worst case scenario, $45,000.
Yep.
My guess is because Mr. Weaver's boy is going to go over there and get us a little bit better deal than that.
There you go.
We can take the extra out of his salary.
Plus, we put our ugly trailer sitting out there. We got rid of 27 trailers years ago.
I agree. I think going in a rental location is a better option. There's just a lot of other stuff that goes on with the trailer piece, and this is just more of a doable option.
You don't have any choice.
Now, the $45,000, that's an estimate?
That's hopefully worst case.
Well, he's got to get it cheap.
I think we talked about it being
$3,800
a month.
Right.
Times 12 months. That was the first fire.
Yep. That's the full price for both units as it stands right now. So is the board saying add the 45.6 for the... Okay, so go down and add the 45.6.
Well, doggone it. I took that up.
They go back up to the relocation.
$600.
So for the relocation expenses, for, I'm assuming there's going to need to be some new office furniture, some cabinets possibly in the move. $5,000 seem reasonable.
Yeah. Can we do that out of contingency since it's going to be a one-time expense? or I mean, one of our construction funds. I mean, we can add.
I don't know if I can
do a rummage sale and find some of
that. No, I have some at the house. I'll
yeah, you, if you want to do it out of the BOS contingency, you could do that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
I mean, okay. Don't make it part of the baseline.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a one-time cost, not a recurring.
See, you're training us, Mr. Weaver. We're almost up.
There we go.
Stick hanging in there.
Okay. 6 years.
You keep beating on us, we'll figure it
out. So let's go down and let me just see if there's anything else down there that we need to address here. Oh, I went too fast. Sorry there. Okay, so that's reduction. Keep on going. Keep on going.
62 is the
keep on going. So you want to do schools or you want to go back up to health insurance and pay stuff?
Health insurance would be next.
Okay, let's go on. Going on.
300 monster to re-in.
Okay, so the health insurance piece, as I said.
Listen, Ed.
You're good, right there.
Right there.
Stop.
Right. Hands off.
Okay, so I had 4% in that $68,000. So we can take that out automatically because we're seeing a decrease. Now the biggest option after this is, out of all the options that we showed, what do you want to go with? Do we want to look at those options again, kind of where we were with how it affects employees and everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me do this. And basically, we're just discussing, are we going to take all the savings for the county, or are we going to share some of the savings with employees? It's not costing us anything extra.
No, but it might fall a year because they're not going to stay the same.
Well,
right?
But if that, we thought it was going to be 20% this year.
That's right. But so why is it the county always has to take all the blood of everything when they can save some money? Why is that?
We saved
$350,000.
We got three choices, Mr. Weaver. The county can keep all of it. The county can give all of it to the employees, or we can find someone.
It was in the work session, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking.
And that's the three choices.
Three, four.
Thank you.
Four. Work session on top. Yeah. Health insurance proposed. There you go.
Okay.
So if we go back to here, okay, so this was the proposal. So there was option one where the county pays the same percentage. So generally, everyone didn't save in that one. Again, what we're trying to do is you have this employee children tier that going to the new Anthem, the local choice, you do not have an employee children tier. So those individuals that have more than one child have to go down to the family. So as we spoke about before, I'll just use this one as an example. If you're currently paying $414 a month and you have to go down to any one of these options, you're either going to pay $668 a month, $814 a month, $568 a month, or $785. So the one thing to remember, even going to $414 to $568 is a pretty big increase. That's assuming you need to stay on the same plan. The $250 plan is a rich plan. Now, you could go from the $250 plan for employee children, and you could go to a $500 plan, and you could be paying $579 a month.
$379
a month, thank you. So, which is a reduction.
The other thing to remember, too, with the people that have the employee plus children, that would be going to the family plan, you can also add your adult spouse. So potentially you could end up on a family plan cheaper than what you've got and add your adult to it as well.
And remember, these comparisons, this is trying to compare apples to apples. This is looking at it like worst case scenario. This is assuming everyone here under this plan currently has employee children, comprehensive, dental, vision, and everything else. But someone could have you know, comprehensive dental, family vision, and all these other things. So I've got a sheet that shows those 15 employees and what it does. And I'm not sure if the board wants
and
to
vision and dental is included into this plan.
With the new plan, vision and dental is included, yes. So these folks right here, we did bake in the vision and dental figures into these. So it is an apples to apples comparison.
Okay, that's already in there.
Yes.
It's in there for the numbers purposes. It doesn't mean that those employees actually take it.
Correct. So let's here, let's do this. No. I'm gonna have to find it. Jessica, do you remember where it is?
It's not your desktop, is it?
Didn't you email it first?
I did.
Yeah, we have it emailed.
Yeah, let's touch it a second.
Certainly.
Cheetos.
Those? These are
puppies. Maybe
you want to turn the thing to orange.
Yeah. Oh, let's do this.
Here.
You want to turn the projection off?
Yeah.
Orange right there.
Oh. And then go to extend.
See, I don't know if this is going to pull up on the wall.
Look. Your boy is now killing the computer guru. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Oh,
yeah,
I
got a QC check.
Yeah.
You having this as here?
I think so.
Yeah, shoot.
Will it not pull up your email?
No, because it's not set up on this on your laptop.
Oh, that's right.
Is this it?
It's called Bank Watch.
That is it. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it.
You want that?
No, I'll let you get that. I'll.
What date was it?
It is.
Can
you
put
it on a thumb drive really quick?
Yep.
That's Thursday.
So then back to our meeting.
Yes. And it's under you and Aaron.
Yeah.
It was
first
made about 8:00.
Okay.
With
health
insurance discussion is what it's called.
What is it, Brian?
Health insurance.
No, the screen thing. What is it under? I can't even remember.
Oh, how do you want to bring it back? The easiest way is Windows P.
Oh, that's right. And then go back to it.
But you might want to keep on
it. He's going to put it on a thumb drive.
If you leave it on extend, it just makes that
a second screen. Yeah.
Yeah, this makes it a second.
And you know I'm all about my two monitors.
You wanted to do that.
It's in here, this is easier. Thank you. I thought I could take that out. He's shorted too. But please don't close that.
Right.
I have to make sure before I answer in detail. Double sandwich. Just in case, you know, you have strong resistance. Not that I need it.
And I got hung up waiting for a kid to get picked up.
On your tower?
No, I'm just in my house.
Oh, you put it in.
You're now on it. Like it's up on it.
They're coming to you.
What does that mean? Did you get like 5 minutes now instead of 3 minutes?
It'll be faster. It'll be more successful.
Are you?
I didn't know how far you were going to get out of it.
So in other words, if I had to move this thing a little off,
but it's kind of a spread out.
Okay. I don't see that again here.
I'm designed to.
All right, so board, can you see this? Okay. All right, so here are the 15 employees that would be affected by that change.
Folks.
All right, so here are the 15 employees that would be affected by that change. Names are removed. Like I said, it just shows what medical plan they're on, that they're on the 500, the 250, or anything like that. Shows the employee child, shows if they have comprehensive dental or not. Only one of them does not have dental. And then it shows the different type of tiers they have for, if it's employee only, employee child, employee family tier, same with the vision. So currently, this is the amount that those employees are paying per month right there, and it goes anywhere from $15 a month all the way up to $400-something. So once we factor in the 2% COLA for those same employees, right here, this is what we're proposing for the change, what they would see if they stayed on the same plan. So some of these employees would see, a $91 increase. This last column Y, where it says net monthly salary change, some employees are showing still an increase per month going to that family plan, staying on the same deductible that they currently are. And then you have some employees that are going in reverse. Now, in the little outline that I gave the board and in that email, so you've got 15 employees. Out of those 15 employees, 10 of them would be affected if they're staying on the same plan. Out of those 10, you've got 5 employees that going from the employee children plan to go to the family plan with the 2% increase, some of them are going to see anywhere from a $11 up to a $28 a month increase.
Is that net of COLA?
Yes. Okay, yes.
So
yep.
Basically, they didn't get any COLA.
Correct.
They went back.
Their COLA was used to take care of their health.
Correct. The COLA offset their right. increase going to a family plan. And then you've got some employees that it definitely hits harder. You've got some that $100 a month, $87 a month, $63, $68. Now, for all those employees that are showing a negative, we'll use this one right here under line 49. Currently, they would pay $28.83 a month. and they're on a 250, if they go to the 500 plan, then they would see, they would actually see $160 a month going back into their paycheck. So some of it is choices as well.
So you found a way that they could all get more money each month?
Yes.
Okay.
But they may have to change plans. And some of them, and like I said, it's definitely not perfect for everyone. You know, there's someone that may be on, say, a 500 plan, you know, the only place to go from a 500 plan is go to a high deductible health plan.
Which is a big risk for a lot of families.
So for some it is. And so, but those, now that's the thing, those that are on the high deductible health plan on the 500, they're seeing $12 a month, $11 a month, $17, $16 a month. So yes, it is going backwards. Now, you know, the only thing I could say, if the board said, you know, we want to do more than a 2% increase, well, that would fix that. But, you know, but that's obviously extra money for everyone. So you got to look at this kind of fairly.
What is the high deductible?
$2,800 for the year is the deductible. And if you have a family on it, it's $5,600 for the year.
Okay.
So like I said, I mean, it's not, it does affect people. And unfortunately, what I had to do to make it so these folks were affected less, actually the people that are currently on a family plan, they actually see a big benefit. Because what I had to do, So normally what we would pay around 90, I think it's around 92 or 95% for an employee-only plan on average. And then once you kind of go down, when you get to the employee-spouse plan, we would pay about 82%. Then on the family plan, we would pay about 76%. Well, since we had a pretty significant decrease in our premiums, I actually had to bring the family plan where the county's paying 82% of their plan as well. So if you're in a family plan, you can save up to $200 a month if you're a current family plan member, whereas these individuals, the employee children, you're either gonna, like I said, even with the 2% COLA, some still do see an increase. You have some that see it staying on the same plan. They see a nominal decrease.
But that does reduce it.
None of those employees are in the high deductible plan right now?
Yes.
Some of them are.
Yes, you have
three. Okay.
Three.
Okay, gotcha.
Am I all the way up?
But they're actually seeing a savings.
Right.
Yeah, it's all the way up.
Okay, yeah.
So I mean, here, and I mean, I think it's a very rich plan to begin with, and I know that this affects people, but if you're looking at it from a decision-making standpoint of you, the individual, first of all, you're getting the richest plan that the county has to offer, and you're getting the highest subsidy. Second, the $250 plan, when you have a family on it, is, you know, costing the county $2,500. So compared to an individual, you might be getting paid $24,000 more than that individual. If you look at going to the high deductible plan for those folks that would move from the 500 to the high deductible plan, you know, some of their monthly net savings is anywhere from $120 to $300 a month, which if you actually save that towards your deductible, in many of those cases, you'd be able to achieve your deductible with that savings in itself. They're not getting a pay raise. That's the negative. They're not getting a pay raise. But the problem with the plans as they've been presented to us is that we essentially go, if you can go back to the other slide.
Minimize. Go to the PowerPoint. Yeah, hit presentation mode.
Is that we go from option one to any one of the other options, it's at a minimum $100,000 of an adjustment.
Oh, yeah.
Versus the actual cost of the differential on most of those employees, if you actually even try to net them and make them whole, would be under the $100,000.
It would. And
so it's hard for me personally, this is just me speaking, to justify making a decision for 50 employees, of which really only about maybe two of them would be negatively impacted. I mean, I don't want to say, I mean, they're impacted because they're not getting their COLA, but you know, in my company, I only pay for my employees' health insurance. And if we had a 30% increase, that employee would have to, and he's on a family, he would have to absorb that. That's just the way it is in my company. A lot of companies, 50% of small businesses no longer offer health insurance. It is a real privilege to be able to get health insurance. But we also have to take into account the bigger picture.
So, now the one thing,
to me, it's really hard to justify $100,000 for what, if we did it, if we actually could pay them directly, I understand we can, might cost us all of, you know, $20,000, $25,000 to just to kind of make them whole. So that's just my opinion.
And how many employees do we have on the whole plan?
Just what, about 140 employees? Whole plan.
How many employees?
How many enrolled?
Sure.
About 142 or 3, something like that.
Yep. And
you
majority.
Make a lot of sense on what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's math. Business. I mean, it's just math. But it's just, you know, I mean, I know it's people and it's math. But you're also talking about people that are getting the best plan that they can get. And in many cases are being compensated much above their peers, right? So
well, and then the only other thing, I mean, and that's, you know, the only other thing you could do is, okay, well, I mean, we talked about this before, but I think you would get a lot of outcry on this. Say you're going to give X amount per employee, and then you give whatever pay increase, and then you figure out what plan you want.
No, I get that. Yeah. I mean, I get that if you can't target those increases. I do get that.
And that sucks.
It sucks because my instinct would be, yes, please give them the money, right? You know, but I get that targeting those increases is not.
And that was the tough thing with this is because, okay, so if you give them the employees, then you're targeting those employees that have a different health insurance need to give them a pay increase. If you did, Jessica had that fourth tier option, which was basically. It was working with Anthem's plan, because Anthem only offers the three plans, but it's basically subsidizing those employees at a higher level on a family plan than someone that's currently on a family plan. So again, you're targeting those employees. So the way I did it is the only fair way I could get to getting everyone somewhat, either most, you know, like I said, besides 15 people, or actually greater than 15 people, greater than 130 people, when the 2% COLA is factored in, are seeing an increase between the COLA and the health insurance.
Right.
And there's 10 people that are affected, and if they stay on the same plan, stay on the same deductible, they're affected in the teens per month. But going from a employee children plan to a family plan, well, if you can't add your spouse, then you're paying $10 more a month. But if you can add your spouse, then that's a benefit. Now, the one thing I would say is, let's just say that the board decided to go with my proposed option 3. I think the one thing that we're going to certainly have to do next year, once everyone gets the transition on whether or not ultimately affected, we're going to have to look at the family plan. We'd have to look at the family plan again next year, because the 82%, paying 82% of the family plan premium is pretty rich.
So how are you going to change that?
Well, if there was an increase, you would have to slowly start. I mean, just as we said before, if you tier it that you start paying a certain percentage, you pay mostly the employee plan, and then you tier down, you know, the amount that you pay for a, you know, an employee or a dual plan, and then a family plan. That's what you'd have to do. You'd have to slowly, after this year, then you'd have to start looking at, okay, well, those folks on a family plan this year are getting a big increase. They're seeing a $200 a month increase because of what we may have to do if the board chooses to go this way. So there may be a change next year if there's an increase. And it's tough. You know, if it wasn't any other year, the 20% is fantastic. I mean, that's more than phenomenal for what we've been seeing year after year. And it's too bad we can't reap the full benefit of the 357. Well, we can. The board can choose to reap the full benefit of the 357. But we will have some, we will either have to treat some employees differently, or we will have to, you know, pay something a little differently, subsidize
what,
it differently.
What are other counties around us getting? We're doing 2%. What are some of the other?
Louisa's doing 3%. Albemarle's doing either 1.5% or 2%, and then they're doing a merit increase. Jess, who
I actually have not heard.
Yeah. That all just came to my mind.
I know for sure Louisa's doing 3%. I can tell you that for sure. What's that?
From a strategic planning kind of perspective too, this is obviously a transition year to get back. But once everyone is situated and we have the plan tiers in place, then next year we can actually talk about whether a dollar amount funding per employee or setting percentages and sticking with it. And just talk about how that you would be able to forecast that out into the future a little bit, as opposed to kind of what we've been doing is just reacting to everything as we go. This is a really tough year, and you know, we all do understand that there are folks that are affected by this. And again, we're talking about what is in the best interest of the county at large, I think Tony talked about that. But this will actually help to set us up for future years to get forward as well.
Okay. And to that point, I would argue again that, you know, sticking to percentages paid is a good way to do it. I mean, if insurance costs were going up, same thing happens. You know, yeah. you're gonna be affected by that increase. If it goes down, then you're affected. It just, in this case, we have this one situation with plans. And when you net out what will really happen, you're talking about maybe 4 or 5 employees, depending on the choice that they would make, could put them in a difficult position.
That's assuming they stay in the same plan.
Same plan. Well, even moving, you know, somebody moving to high, from like going from 250 to 500, to me, that's not a big sacrifice, right? Going from 500 to a high deductible might be considered.
Well, so go back to the Excel.
Finances are.
The Excel document.
Is it this one?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, so again, those folks that are seeing the 12, the 11, the 16, the 17, 16, they're already on the 500 plan.
Right, and what I'm saying is, technically speaking, if you look at those, for $11 a month, I'm not going to necessarily move to the high deductible plan.
Right. No, I wouldn't either. I would pay
$11. But on the other hand, if I'm at $63, $68 a month, and I can net out $251, you know, not net out. I mean, that net monthly salary change, 251, that's the increase. So they go from paying 63 to 251, and my deductible is $2,700. Well, I can save that in 1 year. And so, you know,
assuming nothing happens.
If you had like a health savings account that you could put that extra money into, then you'd be in pretty good shape as far as that goes. So there's only, you know, really just 3 or 4 employees that if you look at it, you can say, this could be hard on them.
Yeah, there's 3 or 4, and the ones that are, the big ones, except for one employee, every one of them could go to a 500 plan, except for one employee right here. They're on a 500, and to stay on that same plan, they would have to, you know, they're going to pay $63, $64 a month. Now, the only option they have to see it then a $251 increase a month is go to the high deductible. But it's hard, like I said.
I can't personally justify asking taxpayers to pay $100,000 more for one employee. I just can't do it. So
go back to the, minimize that, and go back to the, and roll that up again. So again, those are the savings. So under option one, the county would save 200. Remember, the big amount is the 357. That's where county basically pays the same amount they're paying right now. And if we didn't have the transition year, we could easily do this. Everyone's paying the same amount that they're currently paying, and it would be no big deal. except for those 15 people, it would be
a huge hit.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
So then, or the county says we cover the same amount, so because we were covering the same percentage in all those tiers, you know, everyone generally sees a decrease again, but those same 15 people get hit pretty hard. And the only way to make them not to get hit pretty hard is option three. But then again, the family, those people on the family plan see a big benefit this year.
So you're suggesting we go with three?
If it's the will of the board to not
have... Isn't that the one you feel?
Well, I would go with option two.
Two. That sounded good to me, and that's what
I know it's terrible, right, but that's what I would do.
Two cost the county $357.
No, that's what we say.
That's a savings.
Option two basically means that the county.
So we're going to change the percentages that we put.
No, we're going to stay in.
No. County covers the same position. Same percentages as option one.
No. Basically, the county is paying.
Oh, the same contribution. Mike's right. Yes.
Same. If we go option one. Mm-hmm. That's the county covers the exact same percentages. We just keep our percentages
yes,
low.
Yes.
The other one, we're not covering the same percentages. We're going to go down on the percentages that we cover.
We may, yeah. We're basically paying the same contribution.
Yeah, but the option two, basically, if you were paying $479 before, you paid $479. Again, except for those 50 employees, which really.
Yeah.
Some of them have to shift out.
Those are aberrations in a sense.
Well, they have options. They have to shift to different plans. So you're really not going to 15. Right.
We set contribution percentages, and we worked on this a long time the other year. That's option one, and that's the same percentages, and that's the one I was talking about where we see most of the savings with the employees also get some of the percentages.
Yeah, this one right here, what
that keeps the percentage.
I understand what you're saying. I'm going to argue that point in just a second.
I understand
what you're saying.
You like that?
No, it's a unique situation because it's a decrease, and it's a big decrease, right? The reality is, in most cases, it's an increase. It's a large increase. So staying at the same percentages in this case creates this false sense. Potentially, because if next year they come back and premiums are 30% and you stay at the same percentages, then they're going to see a huge increase. Right? If you stay at what they're currently paying, which is probably the more realistic situation, then next year that increase in terms of what they'd have to pay is lesser. So, I mean, I agree from a philosophical standpoint of staying with percentages.
We talked about percentages, we picked percentages and said we want to be consistent.
I do agree with that.
Yep.
And we're not going to be consistent. I'd like to know what the percentages are.
Yes. So this is where the county saves $357. So let's just use this as an example. Say right now I'm paying $60 a month. Okay. The county's still going to pay $60 a month, but where the county was paying 92% before, now they're paying 90%. So on average. On this whole single group, so you've got preventative and comprehensive for single, currently the county's paying on average 90%. On average now, they would be paying on average 88%.
Did you do that with the families?
Slide down a little bit, please. We'll go back up to employee children. Stop right there. So again, employee spouse, currently for all these, we're paying on average 82%. Going to the new dual plan, again, the employee is paying the same exact amount, 46, 46, 303, 303. And actually, there's a benefit here because there's some HSA included in here to work out to the same dollar amount. But again, we're going from paying 82% to paying 76% on average. And if you go down to the family, currently we're paying 76% for this group. We would be going down to 69% for that group. Now again, scroll blue billows to the employee children section. Stop right there. So again, you're going from, I'm gonna use the 500. So you're going from 288 and then go down back down to family. You're going from 288 down to 615 a month. So you're picking up, $300 some a month increase in health insurance for those individuals that are in that tier.
If they stay in the same plan.
If they stay in the same plan, correct. If they stay in the same deductible. Now, we didn't, I didn't do, on this one, I didn't do if you change deductible plans, what you would go to, but nominally kind of just thinking what it is they're saving on the other one, they would probably still be, it would still be a, yeah. Well, no, I think it would, you'd either be either break even or you may be a slightly negative or slightly above, but that's, you know. So that's if the county pays exactly, I'm sorry, that's if the employee is paying exactly what they're paying right now. And then the county does save $357,000. Liz, go back, hit left here, left arrow. Go to the same percentage one, yep. And go.
Shrink it.
Shrink it, please. That's good, and go all the way up. Oh, you're all the way up here. Okay, so again, on this one.
This is option one?
Yeah, this is basically the same percentage. And again, county's paying 90%, county's paying 90%. Where this employee's paying $17 a month and they're getting an $80 HSA, now they're paying $13 a month and they're getting a $90 HSA. And then go down to the employee's spouse and we'll come back to the children. Again, county's paying 82%, county's paying 82%. Right now that employee's paying $303. Well, here, they're paying $219. So there's, you know, there's
an increase for that.
Yeah, there's a decrease there going from 303 to paying 219 and go down to the employee children. I'm sorry, family plan. Again, same percentage, 76%, 76%. If I'm paying $544 a month for the 500 preventative, now I'm only paying $434 a month. But then you go back up to the employee children and you know, you're going from that 288 and go back down to the family. And, you know, you could be paying 479.
And the, I'm sorry, the high deductible in that case is 164.
Yes. So if they went to the high deductible, they would probably see
$100.
A net increase with the 2%. So go back to the, do you want to stick on these? You want to go back to the PowerPoint? Go back to the PowerPoint, please. Minimize PowerPoint. Yep, blow it up. So these are, well, those are the options that we've come forward with. And so remember, we have 68 instantly that comes off the top because I had a 4% increase. So 68, and then whatever you want to do from there.
Well, I'd like option one, but listen, or option three, but listening to what you were talking about, I'd say keep your percentages the same. I mean, I'd go option one.
That's what you think too, Tony, isn't
it? Well, I think option two is.
Two.
Thank you. I mean, and I understand Mike's point. I think it's a well-taken point. Percentages, well, it falls in line with what Jessica was saying, Mrs. Rice, that you're sticking with percentages. It's just a unique situation in the sense that, in this case, the employee is benefiting from a decrease as opposed to an expected increase. And so the percentages work to actually save them money or a pay increase in their particular case. The reality is, if it was a more normal year, let's say it was a 10% increase, paying the same percentages at that point in time, they'd still see an increase. So to me, the differential is, if next year it's a 35% increase, are we going to stick with county covers the same percentage, which will be a 35% increase to that employee? Or would we have been better off banking
the
savings?
If we keep the same percentage, then we're splitting that increase, not going on just
well,
one.
We're splitting on that percentage, but I'm just saying.
Well,
so,
I mean, we're splitting.
So for
but
their
on
portion,
this one,
it's
but on this one, if we go with plan two, we're taking all the savings, not giving any of it to the
correct.
Employee.
Now, to think about this, though, on the flip side of that.
They're getting better.
I'd like to give them some because we aren't going to be able to give them
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, I did.
Raises,
I did hear that.
Well,
We know which one.
Help us fighting with other counties trying to keep employees.
So there's two things to look at. So with that being said, you could say, okay, well, so the difference between the counties paying the same amount is $357,213. That's $140,000 difference. So to keep employees harmless, you're going that $140,000. Well, you could say, well, the counties.
No, that's not a fair statement. To keep 15 employees.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay, you're keeping 135 employees, or yep. 130 employees harmless.
Yep.
In option two.
Yep.
And in option one.
Yep.
Okay, you're keeping them harmless in that.
In option one, they will gain some of the.
In option one, they gain a little bit. Yes.
Option one.
So option two, you're keeping them harmless, except for 15 employees.
They're only getting the 2% COLA, except for the 15 employees that are on the plan.
The difference, and
that's a fair point too, which is, quote, we say harmless, including the COLA, which isn't really harmless. Right, because some people might not have paid an increase, and so their 2% really goes into their bottom line pocket, right?
Yep. So, or the board can say, well, you could look at it this way too. For the past 3 years, I think the board has basically covered all the increases. So you could look at it on the flip side is, well,
I don't think we covered them all. Well, when did we set the percentage?
Last year.
I don't think we set. We didn't cover all the increase last year then, because, trust me, no, I know we didn't cover all the increase because I had to change.
Okay.
I went from 250 to 500 because I got a phone call that said I needed to write a $1,600 check.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
As a, for, to not just my employees, but all those in the county, Eric Dahl and Mr. Weaver, and I'm sitting on the jail board, we had heard a very compelling statement from the chair of that board when they had a double-digit increase in their health insurance this year, and somebody said, well, why don't they pay a part of it? His answer was, people come into public service for benefits. They don't get bonuses at the end of the year because you did a great job. You know, they don't get those things. You come in, you want to be a part of ERS, you know you'll have a retirement, you want to have good benefits. So we picked up the tab for the county jail. And the schools are asking for $500,000 to take care of their people. So what about the rest of us? Thank you.
You know, another thing, if, let's just say hypothetically, you said, well, you know, the county's going to pay the same percent. Well, there's a $140,000 difference. Well, you could say, well, maybe instead of doing a 2%, you give the staff 3% or not. Or there's lots of different.
Then we got another three-headed monster in the room, because we've tried to keep the raises the same, then the school's budget's going to go up.
They're getting 4%, though. Isn't the state budget now 4% for the schools?
We had two on each year.
And that's in line with
we'll know tomorrow, hopefully.
Well, but you see what I'm saying? That's the reason. I mean, I wanted to pay for it. I'm willing to back up and say I'll go option one if we keep the percentages the same. I just think it's a way for us to say we're not going to keep the entire savings. We're going to share some of it with the employees. And it's a way.
Which plan are you on?
And that's the green one.
That's the first one, option one.
So you want one.
Well, like I said, y'all can try to talk me out of it.
What did you recommend?
They recommended three.
Well, what we put in there, if you were trying to keep mostly people held harmless, mm-hmm. mostly, it was option three. But that's the only reason that we did that, because you know that has been some of the board's intent previously. That's the only reason that plan was structured as it is. But I mean. A large percentage is held harmless, but there's some that are not.
What's that?
That would be held harmless with all these plans. Like I said, option three is to account for 15 employees.
Well, I mean,
to make the switch.
We have to govern for the majority, not for the special interest, and that's just the way it is.
I see what you're saying. If we try to do something for those 15. But like I said, the only thing I'm thinking is, then next year, what are we going to do? We're going to say, okay, now we're going to go back to 82%? I mean...
Well, the family would be at 82%, and then you...
No, what actually happened the next year, if there was an increase, is the net increase to that employee would be less because we've already baked in the fact that there was going to be an increase. But if you took them to option one and there's an increase, for many employees, the net increase would be more significant. That's just what would happen in that situation. I agree with the percentage, but I'm just saying that.
If we're making those decisions like that, I can't see us changing our minds and changing our colors next year, because that would be changing our colors.
Yeah. I mean, my experience with us health insurance in general, having bought it many, many times and you know, pay a fair amount for my employees, is almost always it just goes up. You never see a 30% decrease. I mean, it's just really a staggering decrease. You know, which is great. I mean, I'm all for it, but I'm just saying it's a very unique situation.
Well, what I will say, the benefit of being with, going to Anthem, the local choices, and just speaking with a lot of our counterparts, year after year after year, they have not seen substantial increases.
It's not going to be the big ones like we've been getting.
No, and like I said, we were seeing a 7% increase 1 year, and you're like,
oh God, we can't do this.
We need to go elsewhere, and
we should have stayed.
Mm-hmm. And our last two increases have been way beyond 7. I mean, that's my only thing.
So Tony, what do you think? You know more about insurance.
No, I mean, I'm just saying. I think that Mike's position on percentages, on the one hand, makes a lot of sense. I think Mrs. Rice presents the same argument that, from a strategic standpoint, we sort of sat down as a board and said we would stay to percentages. I just think in this particular case, the likelihood is that next year, while you're giving a certain amount of employees a net savings, maybe some of their COLA back, the next year coming around, we're going to be taking that away from them. And you know, one half dozen or another the next year. But I mean, for me, option one is palatable. Option two, I think, is, you know, the one that is likely to, you know, hold 95% of the employees harmless, and force a few of those employees to switch into a different tier. I think switching from $250 to $500 is not a jump. I can understand switching from $500 to high deductible plan as being a jump. But, you know, there's a savings as well for a lot of those employees. So.
So you're saying that next year we'll eat the entire increase?
I'm saying if we stuck to the theory of percentages, which I think we should, then next year for those employees, I'm arguing your point.
So next year we're going to go back to 82%?
What I'm saying is, like in this case, let's say if I'm an employee and I'm on the employee one dependent and I'm paying currently $340, right? That's what I'm currently paying because I'm being held harmless, right?
Right there.
Yeah. Yep. And so in option two, I'm paying $340. Mm-hmm. Now in option one, I now get $100 a month savings, $90 a month savings. Okay, that's now, right, that includes my COLA, so it's part of my raise. I'm not arguing that point. Okay, it's part of my raise. I get my $90 raise per month, and that's great. But if next year insurance goes up by 30%, now I'm going to eat that $251 and go back up, you know.
Yeah, well, what this one...
percentage there, right?
Option one is meant to be if, same percentage, if percentages go up overall, employee sees an increase, county sees an increase. If percentages go down, county sees a decrease, employee sees a decrease.
No, we're not doing that.
What's that?
We're not doing that if we go column two. We're saying county sees a decrease, employee doesn't.
Correct. And option two, that it's
I mean, we're throwing the percentage thing out the window.
Option two, the county is recouping what they've been paying for years for the increase. Well, more of the increase for years.
I mean, I'll vote for either one of those. I'm not going to argue the point. I'll vote for either one of those.
But aren't they paying, well, except for the bottom one? No, they're all paying the same, the current monthly, and option two, they look like it's the same.
Yeah, and option two,
Except for those.
Everybody pays the same.
Except for those,
that one gray column that disappeared.
Except for those employee children.
Everybody pays the exact same. And that's why I just wanted to put the percentages up there, because your family's going to be asked to pay 7 to 8% more.
What's deceiving about the chart is that it's got the COLA included in there, and so that's really...
Well, this doesn't have
this
a COLA.
This one doesn't.
There's no COLA in this. This is straight insurance.
But if you're factoring in the COLA for the change or not?
Not in this.
Not at
all. No. Oh, okay. No. So if you're going from 340 to there, you're getting
your 2% COLA plus $90.
That, yes. You're
getting a net raise or whatever, $300.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yes. Now,
are you getting 3%?
Yeah. Now that's if you're on employee. Now if you're on a single only plan, you're going from 78 to 57.
So if it's net from COLA, then I'm even more in favor of option two. Then.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't like not giving the employees something.
But you have 2% raise.
Is anybody else on the plan?
We're not.
I mean, I don't matter. Again, I'm not basing this on my thing. I'm basing it. I'm at the top of the pay scale on Virgin Schools. I'm not basing it on that. I'm basing it on our deputies, on our workers in the daggone for Mr. Hickman. I'm basing it on those guys. This is a way where we can give them a larger raise or a little bit of money by just keeping the percentages the same. Hey, we're going to take this percent of this money we get back, and we're giving this percent to the employees.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little tricky because what you're doing is you're giving people that are in specific groups a bigger raise than other people, right? So if you happen to be in the family plan, yeah, you're getting compensated more through family insurance.
I'll go away from the family plan.
But if you happen to be a single person, then you might save more money than the other.
What I make at the county does not make a difference that much. Okay. Yes, sir. I'm on the insurance plan. Are you on the insurance plan, Mr. Wigman?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're both on the insurance plan. So if I excuse myself, you excuse yourself.
Mm-hmm. You can't excuse yourself. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just, if he's going to say that to me, then I'm going to say that to him.
Yeah. Fair.
I mean, I don't base my decisions on me.
Well, then, so
anybody looked at my life.
Maybe we only have one vote.
There's still.
You got two.
County.
There's still.
Seagram is
yeah. Okay, Moselle Church. Book it out. Let's see.
Y'all can arm rock, paper, scissors.
Have we decided, or talked about what we want to do? I mean, is there a purpose up here, and then we work from there?
Mike, you said
that you wanted to make sure that we gave some.
I said we had three choices. We could give all the discount, the 20% discount to the employees. We could keep all the 20% discount for us, or we could find somewhere in the middle to try and keep it where each side got a little bit.
Okay.
Now, so, you're right, honey. It's going to be disproportionate to whoever gets what. We can't make it dead either. But I think that's what the sheriff was saying when he spoke.
Right.
Just that extra, we stay here for the benefits. Mm-hmm. And that's just me talking about treating people as family.
And if that's what we want to do, then which plan? Well,
the benefits for if you're getting a 2% raise and your health insurance doesn't go up,
then you
have 2% raise. It's a good deal, right? If on the other hand, like the sheriff was saying, you're in the county and your insurance is going up, and the county decides, or the jail board decides in that case to cover the cost of the insurance going up, then you're still held harmless in that place. We've taken the policy of saying if that situation occurs, you'll be held harmless up to 82% or 75% or whatever the case may be.
Well, now we're just changing the percentage.
No, I understand that. We're changing them, adjusting them downward. But I'm just saying that in general, for 135 employees, it stays exactly the same and they get a 2% raise. For 15 employees,
10 of them are going to be forced to move into a different plan.
We need to take three
people if they don't want to pay $11.
If there's
more.
Three of us up here, we are not getting a 2%. So it reduces by three.
But I'm just saying, that's what you're doing, is you're doing that. And when we say, oh, are we going to take this money and keep it? Well, the reality is the next discussion we're going to have is schools. Right? So it's $100,000. I mean, you know, I'm not going to spend $100,000 for four employees. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, nobody's saying spend $100,000 for four employees. That covered option one.
$90,000.
It's not for four employees. It's for all whatever.
But you're giving a raise because of a change in insurance premiums to 120 employees that don't even expect that. Okay, they don't even expect that they're going to get a raise because their insurance went down.
That's fine, but I guarantee you tomorrow they're going to know that we didn't give any of that percentage to them.
You know what? Okay. I understand that. I get that.
And we're going to say that the percentages that we decided on last year, we're now going to go back on.
Well, it's a different insurance company.
Well, I understand. Yeah. I understand that, Ms. Seeger. I understand that. But we pick percentages, which it just takes the premium. It doesn't worry about whether it comes from Cigna or whether it comes from Anthem. Well,
I think we can move on. I agree with you.
So they've decided that I think you got three nods for plan two.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I just want to make sure the employees know that I was not in favor of that.
You're in favor of one.
I can live with one, absolutely. I understand your explanation with the third one. Makes total sense.
I can live with one too, but I'm just, you asked a question, I'm just answering the question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So y'all decided that you're one option two with three votes. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes.
Yeah, we've already said so.
Okay.
That's not the best plan for the
it's just us saying we're going to take it.
So 357, 234.
Did you write down, Mary?
Yeah.
Are you all comfortable with me bringing forward the application?
Okay.
For the local
okay,
choice.
Okay, so in there.
Hey, Eric, is that 68 in that 357, or is that an addition?
No, that's an addition.
No, I think.
Okay, so
I'd rather raise it.
357.
I
just wanted to make sure.
234.
Minus 357.
No, thank you.
Forgot where we were.
Plus 68?
Uh-huh.
No, minus
68.
Okay, so now...
We're keeping all the discount.
Yep. So now we're saving $425,000 from my proposed budget. 68 backed out, 357 backed out. Now we've got a $573,000 surplus.
What's next?
So I guess what's next is
schools.
You got the schools, and if you want to do
anything
else,
anybody else would like to pull. Do you have a specific item that you would like to discuss and talk about? I guess is the best way to say.
Mean education?
Well, no. I mean on the budget itself. Forget education. Forget okay. The schools. Is there anything else that anyone wants to put in, take out?
Have we covered all this?
Yeah, let's hear. We
so the 5,000 per oh no, we decided that was BOS.
Yeah, that's BOS.
Okay.
We added in the registrar.
Yeah, that's all.
I think we've covered it all.
Yeah, I mean, unless there's anything
salary.
Unless there's anything over here. Now we haven't talked about, and I don't know if we want to get into this tonight, but we haven't talked about CIP at all.
Well, that's fun.
And depending on what the board wants to do with CIP, that could affect that. But as it stands right now, revenues are revenues. We may get more revenues from the commissioner. We maybe get more taxable values by the time it's all said and done. I'm not sure. We talked about 1% and what salary is if the board wanted to go up or down. We talked about the health insurance piece. We added the 425. We added in the 69 for the sheriff's office pay adjustment. And unless there's anything in here, I think really out of county departments and even constitutional offices, the only two major budgets that we really cut were Parks and Rec, and primarily was the $49,000 for the fencing, and then under facilities budget, didn't fund all the repairs and stuff, but otherwise.
Have we decided to give 2%?
We had set CIP, correct.
And we've given, is 2% raise in this?
2% is in this.
Okay, and go back up to the top.
Liz.
Sorry.
Go back up.
So.
Yep, go back down.
Sorry.
Right there, stop right there.
That, and the 2% is already baked in.
2% is in.
Okay, so what if you gave a 3%, would that cost us another 66,000?
That would cost you 66,769.
No, ma'am.
But it costs, it's a differential between the schools.
You'd add another 320,000 to that.
Oh, because the schools aren't.
If we're gonna give 3% to here, we're gonna give 3% to schools.
Okay, Sue, go ahead, forget it.
So that's what I was talking about, option one.
Well, let me play devil's advocate to that, because there was times that schools got another increase during the year and the county didn't get one. Mm-hmm. So,
well, the schools are also including a little bit of step stuff in addition to their 2% mm-hmm. in their this year's request.
Yeah.
What are they? Yeah,
including they have, you know, the schools have steps, and they have in their request, and I don't know if you want to pull up their request or not, they have a little bit of step stuff in their request this year in addition to 2%.
Minimize,
but the way they have it structured is, instead of getting the step and the 2%, you would get whichever is greater, the step or the 2%. I believe is how they had it structured.
We can pull up. Go to library.
I don't
finance.
I'm not sure.
I think they finance steps out.
Oh, did well. I'm not sure which plan.
Budget.
You have two plans.
I know. Depending on the plans, I'm not sure. We may not. We'll know here in a second.
Did you put in the budget folder their presentation, or let's do this here?
Is it in here?
No. It's going to be the schools. Let me just. Yeah, because I don't know where it is.
One.
When do they present?
19. I'm making a copy of it because I never got it.
Okay, so this is. Let's do this. So this is kind of some of their request components, what it includes. This is why their budget was going up and down this year. And this is how they came into the $679,000. It says minimum 2% all staff and scale adjustments. And then it also includes some new positions.
How many?
They say speech pathologists, school psychologists, and nurses.
Is that a plural?
Yes.
Yes.
No. More than one nurse they're hiring?
It says nurses. I don't know.
That wasn't hiring.
I think it's an increase for the nurses.
Increase for the nurses.
And so you're right.
They can't get subs for the nurses.
That's
because
correct.
They can't pay them anything.
Yep. Yeah. They're hiring a pathologist and a psychologist, I think.
Mrs. Booker is correct. They were trying to adjust the scales for those positions because I think they fell on a teacher scale right now. Then there was a teacher scale B adjustment, so they're adding a 2% increase, and then those staff that are on scale B, they're doing an adjustment on there as well. And that was 90,000, an increase in some instructional staff. So I think these are new positions, mm-hmm. two no. special ed, athletic trainer, literacy coordinator, and an apprenticeship partial. That's 250.
That's five in there,
yes.
increase in employees.
Wait, the 2% though includes, I mean, the top one includes 2% from the county, not just the state.
What's that?
It says that 884 net of state revenue, or? So in other words, you're giving, as I read that, it's 2% increase for staff, right, for teachers, and scale adjustments, so it's also, you know, bracket adjustments, but then the state's going to provide 2% as well, too, right?
I don't believe that's the case. I wish
because that's a big number for 2%.
Yeah.
Would what, what you're saying, would that be a 4% increase?
That's what I'm asking. Is that a 4% increase or not?
They said 2%.
She said they were asking.
I know, but the state's giving 2%.
Yeah, I wanted that.
Yeah, but I think the state's reimbursing for the 2%.
The state was when they put this in, the state had not, had said that they were going to give their raise in July of next year.
We guess we didn't answer that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a pretty big deal.
I was under the assumption.
And it's also got scale adjustments. So I think 8% for the school system is like $325, so that would be $650. And then you got those other salaries they want to adjust.
Right.
Then that's the other $200,000, I think.
I want to say it was a 2%. That's what my thought was, but I could be. They said a minimum of 2%, but there may be others that are getting greater than that, depending on the steps and all that.
We need clarification on that. Right?
Yeah.
It's pretty important there.
Staff stipends, some minor stuff, substitute coverage. They're covering health insurance increase for $400,000, some additional costs for transportation, and then some offsets that they had. Enrollment loss, retirements, the way they're doing prep.
The substitute coverage thing is when they're having teachers go in and cover other teachers' classrooms, and they lose their planning period, so they're going to adjust them, I think, $25 a period.
So that was the pluses and minuses. So go to the next one.
Well, let's go back. Kind of studying. I'm looking at some of that.
So they do have their health insurance. They are RFPing that, trying to get. Hopefully, they can come across a deal resembles the deal that we got.
And do the teachers get 100%? How does that work with them? Do they pay a percentage?
I have no idea.
They pay a percentage of their health insurance, and I don't remember what percentage it is. I think, if I remember correctly, I want to say that they are better on their single plans, but we are better on our family plans.
That's why I'm on the counties and not the schools.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they have a higher percentage up here, and then we kind of flip-flop.
So they get $140,000 less because there's less children.
Yes.
From the state.
Yes. But they are getting additional state revenue this year. But if they had the same amount of children, they would have lost that $140,000.
They would not have.
Correct.
Right.
So those children amounted to what you say?
140.
140.
Yep. So retirement works when you have someone that's at the high end of the pay scale, they retire. Mm-hmm. You're not going to necessarily hire the new person that comes in at the same amount that person was at. So they're anticipating a savings because they know for sure they have retirements. And when you hire someone new coming in, they're going to be at a lower salary.
Okay, well then, that's a positive.
Correct.
Okay, but the $140,000 is not positive.
Yeah, those are offsets.
That's offsets. So they're minuses.
So the request numbers are in black. The decreases are in red.
Yeah.
The prep reimbursements. What's going on there? That sort of surprises me to see $150,000. What's going on?
What is
in that area?
They stopped reimbursing them as much or something.
Is that right?
Yeah, and honestly, with that one though,
I remember that.
It's almost like a flow through because if I remember correctly, there is a $150,000 offset in their expenditures. They act as kind of like the fiscal agent.
The governor's
school as well, where the fiscal agent.
So I don't think that necessarily is hitting their budget and affecting them. It's just there's an adjustment there. So those are kind of what their 21 budget included. So go to the next slide.
So they're losing $50,000 on the solar units.
Yeah, that's their
savings.
Saving $50,000 by the solar.
That's what I would think, but it was red.
It was decreasing.
It was
decreasing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then here's the local funding request. That's where they're asking for the full amount. This is what they're getting from the state, the $23 million. We have that. They have the same federal number in. They had a decrease in other local funding, which that's the $250,000 that we reflected. So that's their current total budget request, $43.4 million for the $679.
I mean, I guess there's two things that are not clear right now. One,
the 2 or 4%?
2% versus 4%?
Yeah.
And two, the health insurance, because those two numbers there are $1.2 million, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of hard to figure out what to do.
I wish I had a school representative here.
Other than this, we're pretty much set with our budget. If somebody wants to take somebody elsewhere, CIP, I mean, we could almost call it quits for tonight until we have somebody with the schools.
Do you want to take a look at CIP really quick? Or?
Sure.
Let's go.
We got to go to closed session afterwards.
It'll be quick.
We got a closed session?
Yes, sir.
It'll be quick. Fairly quick. Okay, so for CIP...
Sorry about that.
Maybe bigger.
Yeah.
So is there anything that the board is...
Let me go to the top.
Yep. Is there anything that the board is wanting us to kind of change? Now, the playground expansion, we had talked about we could pull $45,000 out of there and fund that other 50% with proffer money. And then, so, you know, Mr. Spitzer, you know, we'd have $45,000 with kind of existing proffer money, which doesn't affect fund balance. And then he'd have to get
it. It'll cost money.
But we have $45,000 in
we do.
Proffers?
We
have $56,500.
$56,000, and you can only use it for very specific purposes.
And most of it's Parks and Rec related.
Yeah.
Is there going to be something that comes down the road where we can use $11,500 for?
You could apply for something. Say something was $50,000, you could apply.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was just sitting there going,
yeah.
Use the whole thing for the, if we can use that.
You could do that too.
Pretty much it specifies it's for parks and recreation type programs for
it's an athletic parks and rec
athletic
and
parks and rec.
Like
it was it's pretty much parks and rec.
Yeah.
And how much is the total amount?
So that's $56,500
is what we have right now.
That's yeah. So this was money that we collected for years and years and years pretty much from Sycamore Square.
Right.
So that's 90 total for the
90
cost.
Total, yes. That CIP project is 90 total. So I've got 45 in fund balance and then 45 in grant. So if the board said, well, fund 45 out of the proffer money, well, we'll just take that out of fund balance and put it in there.
Mr. Spitzer, I guess my question is if you had your choice between playground expansion and a spray ground park, $90,000 difference, and what would make the biggest impact on county residents?
That's two different types of people you're impacting.
Okay.
I don't know. That's hard for me to decide because you're either taking away from the special needs that don't really have equipment in the county, or you're giving something to somebody that anybody can use in the county. So I don't know how you.
And special needs children could use a spray park.
They could.
Yeah.
But they do not have any.
Isn't that getting pretty fancy? Equipment.
We don't have any other water activities in the county.
Well, here's the only thing.
Rappahannock River.
That's
true. Little kids. Not white children. Not little
kids. You can get my children. No, here's one thing. Now, is the water at Pleasant Grove sufficient to do a spray park?
That's when we let the rugrats. Right?
Yes, if we can use the well. Yes.
The well of the high school.
Yes. I don't know if we've got the water. We would have to use the well at the house.
Mr. Heckman.
I believe so. We could think along those lines.
Have we ever talked to Mr. Black or caught up to Mr. Black about trying to find that well? I was talking about it the other day.
Yeah, I think Aaron, did you talk to him about the well?
There's one that they looked at behind the pole barn back on Reg Trail.
They're talking about the one at the softball
field. The softball field. Next behind the high school softball field.
Oh, no, I don't know. I haven't. No, that.
Mr. Black walked down to me that there was a existing well there that they dug that is just bubbling out of the ground.
That's what I've heard.
I think the reason I like the spray park is, for me, it's going to drive traffic to Pleasant Grove. And there's a lot of people that don't even really realize how wonderful Pleasant Grove is.
Right.
And so I like that. I don't know that you get as much traffic out of playground expansions. That's why I asked Mr. Spitzer.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that anecdotally, you would think that a playground park would drive a lot of new people to the park.
If you do it right, you can expand it.
You talking about the spray ground? Yeah. Spray zone?
Well, you could do it. You could do it in phases.
Do you have another employee factored in for that?
So, you would only have to look at the contents of the chlorine and stuff like that, but you don't have to actually have anybody on site. You don't have to man it like a pool.
How much water would it use a day?
It recycles the water.
Oh, recycles?
Yes, so I'm not exactly, I can't tell you right offhand. Depends on how big a one you get. Then they put a tank in the ground and then you get water and then it recycles. And you have to refill a little bit because it evaporates and stuff like that.
I find it amazing though, we're trying to figure out how to spend $45,000, and I'm sure that something is going to come down the road that we will really need that $45,000. A stronger need than trying to figure out where we can spend it.
Well, the $45,000, the only thing about that is you can't just use it for anything. It has to be used for expanding current services.
But you could use it for either the playground park or
yes.
If I can say something, you're trying to get water in businesses in Zion's Crossroads. Well, bigger businesses won't move into an area unless there's a good recreation facility for their employees. So they really look at that. Like, it's a trend going on. They really look at that. And they don't want to go somewhere where they have to travel somewhere else to recreate and stuff. It's just something to think about.
It's a great place. It really is.
Mm-hmm. But if you don't add to it, then you're kind of stuck in a spot.
Look at other places.
I have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And some of them don't have anything hardly.
They don't. They don't have a lot of visitors.
And we've been very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So what we could do is take the 56.5 proffer money, apply it to the pool or the spray
ground,
and that would end up being $123,000 that we would need to do that.
You'd need it.
Since we already have playground, maybe we wouldn't
take $45,000 and you do it in phases. You got. $95,000 for phase one of the pool of the spot park.
Well, so the playground park expansion is 100. So this is not the full kit and caboodle. That's kind
that's
of a phase
minimum.
One. That's a minimal. It's $180,000.
Okay, I don't know. What do you guys think about doing that?
I mean, I think it would be something a lot of residents would really like. Myself, but.
You're not doing it. Right? You're not talking about doing it in phases.
Yes,
no.
You're talking about doing
yes,
108 in phases.
108
in phases. Hold on. Aaron, you have a picture in there, don't you?
Mm-hmm. She should have it.
Yeah.
Just click on that.
So are you all talking about using 56.5?
Yes.
And 45?
No. Well, no. Don't do the 40. Don't put the playground in this year. Instead, put the spray park in, use the proffer money, and then you've got $123,000.
You'd have to pay $123,000 additional out of fund balance.
Mm-hmm.
So, Aaron, is that kind of
well, that's kind of like your phase one, and then I think there's another picture.
Go.
Maybe.
I think that's
maybe
the only
not.
One I
have. But so you would start there, and then you'd make it so you can expand on the corners, and then you want to grow it.
And
that's 180.
One
your biggest expense is your system in the ground.
Yeah.
How big is that in feet?
30 by 30, maybe
something like that. I don't know right off. I don't think it says that.
But most of them have more.
It's a 2,000 square foot.
So
it's
120 by 120. Oh, it wouldn't have a bucket like that. That's like the pool.
That's 2,400 square feet.
So in this you go kind of hit a button and then it comes on for about 10 minutes.
They don't move
out. So you're not using the water.
I'll spray you. You spray me.
You don't have to have well, they are, there. But they've you don't have a lot of
water. Are you ready?
So they're talking about using the 45 that's in there for the playground plus the 56. Is that what they're talking about? I'm confused.
That's my answer. I'm saying scrapbooking.
Yeah. So someone wrote up.
But here's, so we are, okay.
So let me get clarification here really quick.
Yeah, because that 56 isn't going to do much for that 180. I mean.
No.
Well, she's talking about digging in and dropping 123,000.
You're saying using fund balance to fund the other portion. Right. That's what she's saying.
All right, well, I have a question.
Okay.
So you already have 45 in the CIP, in that CIP number.
Mm-hmm.
That 45 right there.
So if we don't take that out, get rid of it.
But we got 45 already baked in the CIP.
You're using additional.
So if you use that 45 plus the 56 plus the 56.5, right. Then could you get a grant for the difference, you think?
Possibly. I'd have to look for spray pad grants. I know they do a lot of playgrounds.
Yeah, I know you can get playground grants.
But I'll look. I mean, I will actually look if I know that that's what we want to do.
Which one would you
rather
have?
That gives you 1,000.
Would you rather have right now the playground equipment or the spray ground equipment? The playground equipment, are you telling me?
I'd say a spray pad because anybody could use it. Even somebody in a wheelchair could go up to it and have a good time because they could get wet with it.
Okay, but it's not a spray part, it's a spray pad.
Right now, well,
yes.
Only thing is a pad.
It'll be added however many pieces I can get.
Now, if you were talking about a spray park, I know it would cost more.
That will increase significantly.
Another zero.
That would increase it significantly.
Can we get a garden hose and do this?
Oh, you could.
We need to do something.
That's a statue we're going to have. Well, the Mr. Weaver statue with two garden hoses.
Can we do this budgetarily? Can we allocate? Okay, we allocate $100,000 for improvements to Pleasant Grove, be that either the parks or the spray park, and then let Mr. Spitzer do some analysis on that. He's asking the same thing either way.
And now where's the 100,000 coming from?
56,000 plus 45,000.
56,005 is from proffer money that's sitting there for parks improvements. And then talking about
44,000.
You talking about the 45 from fund balance or 45 for grants?
I was talking about the fund balance.
Okay. So using the existing.
So you're going to use fund balance.
Yes.
Tell me what the playground.
We already have 45.
You already have 45, and you're still using it.
All right. Tell me what the playground expansion consists of.
There's a picture.
Where?
Yeah.
They're pulling it up. Just be patient.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Is that new?
Not exact.
Is that a new area?
Yes, ma'am.
And it's for disabled.
Adjacent to what we have out there now.
And that's for disabled. I like that.
For all kids, but
for all kids.
But it would be accessible. Yes. ADA accessible.
It is ADA accessible.
That to me would be something where we'd probably be able to find for the ADA part of it, Mr. Spitzer's grants.
Half.
They'll do half have to match. Mm-hmm. So that's what the 45 and 45 is for.
Mm-hmm.
They only do half grants, half matching, but you have to match.
Any
ones I've ever seen.
And we don't have anything over there right now that
can. School is the only one that has a piece of equipment, I believe.
But they lock it up.
And the lake has one piece, I believe. Yeah.
And a spring or water park, you can only use part of the year. Playground, you can use
year round.
Good.
But if we're getting a grant and we have the proffer money, then none of it would come out of fund balance.
Yeah. I don't like coming out of fund balance.
Well, no, I mean, if you wanted to use 56.5 for this, then you could do the grant for the other portion.
And nothing would come out of
fund balance. Okay.
You don't want it coming out. At least I don't.
You don't want to do what?
I don't want it coming out of fund balance. Because we have so many other things that we
might need to come out of
fund balance.
Well, then, are you saying to do nothing?
Well, it's
there for that. We already have the money there for that.
If we do that.
The proper money has to be limited to that.
Yeah.
So I can justify that.
So, but it won't cost the county anything other than somebody going after a grant.
Well, and the proffer money.
But the proffer money has to be allocated to recreational.
Yes, basically, you have $45,000 coming out of this going kind of back in. It's not being used out of fund balance. Currently, I have $45,000 from fund balance. That goes away, and then you do $56,500 and the other half.
$43,500 or whatever.
Yeah. Or then you get the 50-50. You get a $56,500 grant.
And then you get a slightly bigger playground equipment for $56,500.
Sure. I just wanted to set the idea of, you know, that playground expansion starting to happen. I didn't think we'd do it this time, but I didn't kind of. Or not playground expansion, but the water park. Consistently comes up during FLDP meetings, you know, that it'd be really nice to start adding some water facilities to
So do you want to do some research on both of them and see what you can come up with and come back to us?
Sure.
Okay.
So do you want, I mean, do we want to put anything in there right now? Or just want to leave it, it's kind of as is until next week?
Leave it as is and given.
The board wants to apply $56,000 towards improvements at Pleasant
Grove. The research are as the grants are as they are. You know what I'm saying? They might not be in the cycle for that type of grant. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, with the ADA part on it, I'm imagining that.
That's almost all year round. You can find one of those. That one should be easier to find than like a spray type grant.
State has a lot of money to give away this year, so maybe you can get some of it.
Maybe.
Well, look, they're bulging with money. They are.
We'll start looking.
Just look at their budgets.
All right, so do you want to put, so we'll put 56.5 times 2 in there? Is that what we're saying?
Put that in there and we'll see if it works. If it doesn't, then we don't put it in there.
So we'll take it out of the 45.
If you raise the grant money, you raise the grant money.
Yeah.
I'll try to find it.
So if you don't raise the grant money, then it doesn't happen.
Right, if you can't find the grant.
Yeah.
Carries over.
The grant money sounds
So what are we doing?
56.5. We don't have
just take out the 45.
Yeah, this 56.5 plus 56.5.
We're quite designing, aren't we? Yes, we are.
That's going to change our CIP number. We're going to update the sheet.
That's fine.
Okay. Save some money.
So right, keep on going down. So public works. Okay, so we've got 200 in there for cap reserve maintenance fund. That is coming out of the tax rate. There was 250 in there, but I funded 50,000 less for both county and schools, and just because we have 300,000 in there right now.
I think that's a deceiving thing. Let's keep in mind, right? I mean, you know, the fund balance continues to go down, and it's not as if the cost to repair and maintain are going down. So,
I'm just saying,
at the end of the day, one day we'll have to buy a new school, we'll have to do those things, and we're not saving any money.
I hope we don't have to buy a new school. We just bought
one day.
We have 300 less kids now.
I know, but when you're on your
next 20 years, you mean?
50th term.
My 50th term. Well, that's a long ways off.
All right. Courthouse exterior renovation. There's already a little over 200,000 in that. Mr. Hickman projects it's going to need another 250 to fully do that project, and he can answer any questions on that. What can we start with the 200?
What are we talking about here?
Historic courthouse.
Oh, okay.
The columns, the paint, the eaves, the... What else?
With the columns are the biggest thing.
Are
they? The exterior painting. Yeah, we can start. I think it's going to be later this summer we're going to put that on bids for that.
So what happens if we don't do the 250? If the board doesn't fund 250, what doesn't get done? What doesn't get fixed?
I would just prioritize... What it is. You mean on the exterior building, it'd be the columns or the painting?
Well, I mean, if you're saying it's going to cost $450 to do the whole thing, if you only have a little over 200 in there right now and they don't put $250 towards it, what does that not do?
It'll probably pick one or the other. We'll either paint the exterior or we'll do the columns.
So?
We'll either paint the exterior or what?
Or do the columns.
Or do the columns.
Yeah.
The state doesn't help. Any upkeep on historical buildings?
That's a good idea.
That would be my next question.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring up a fellow that lives up on top of hill. With that historic building, we found grants with Pleasant Grove. Mm-hmm. Would there
we could look into
grants for the courthouse?
The equipment purchase and replacement plan, that is to purchase some major equipment. I think there was a
tractor and a skid steer.
Tractor, skid steer, and there's something else.
There's a trailer.
A trailer in there too for 131. Yes. That was 131,000. There's money in here for admin, parking lot, paving. That wasn't funded. And that was 75,000. There's also some HVAC upgrades, and we talked what happens if we don't do that.
I think we're going to do them anyway.
Well, we do them out of CRM. And then, as we talked about before, the Carriage Brook equipment storage shed for 74,000, that's in there. Basically, a big giant pole barn for down behind Carriage Brook for all the equipment.
All right. Having said that, I'm going to throw this out. I know that I've talked to some of the folks at Mr. Hickman, if we can make it 10 feet longer. I know that Palmyra would like to get a couple of pieces of equipment out of their, inside the interior of their building, their UTV, possibly the hazmat, the trailer, just to be able to move them, which would allow them to move around in the building a whole lot better. Because, I mean, knock on wood, we don't need them so often. And we were talking about that the other night. Chief Lynn?
Yes, sir.
Would something like that work?
If we could, would. If where was that building at? And I missed that part.
Carriage Brook.
That Carriage Brook?
They're building one behind the old softball field.
Do you know anything about this?
That's the one.
I know about this. I don't know about
this. This is just asking for space to put something.
Yeah.
Mr. Weaver, I'm not asking for anything monstrous.
I think we can't.
I was wondering whether he knew anything about it.
I literally talked about this the other night with somebody, and I'm just bringing up.
No, you're just basically saying if we do this equipment storage net, is there a way to make it slightly larger?
Or if there would be enough room to put the UTV so it's out of the weather and out of the middle of Company One.
I think we.
I'm not trying to ask for something special, Mr. Weaver.
No, I just think it should go through him. I'm sorry. I think he should be aware of it and then bring it to us, because it's from you and somebody else, and I think we need to concentrate on him. That's the way I feel about it. I'm sorry.
That's fine, Mr. Weaver.
Restroom upgrade at the dog park. It's a plumbed restroom facility at the dog park. Is Aaron, what happens if we don't have that there?
It just gets pumped by, it's pumping hall.
Pumping hall. There we go. And what else do we have? And if you remember, and I'm going to keep on hammering this one as we talk about needing extra space. I don't have anything in this year, but next year I've got design costs for a new admin building, and we'll see what happens come next year. County vehicles requested 75. I funded 25. And social services didn't request vehicles this year. Go down to the next section for public safety. Sheriff asked for 75 for a secure Sallyport. That's included. Sheriff also asked, go click on the 130, Liz. He asked for 218 for sheriff's vehicles. I funded them at 130. And the reason was there was some CIP money from this past year that we kept in there. So it was about $50,000. So he's not getting quite his whole amount, but there's some money that's sitting there still. So I guess you can ask the sheriff, by not having the equivalent of one vehicle, what's that going to do? Besides,
We've run into a problem, and we'll have to address it this year. And that's the ordering date for the cheapest car that we can get, and that's a Dodge Charger. We missed that date because we couldn't get a letter from the county saying that we were going to buy four cars or five cars, whatever it is. So now we have to go back buying some SUVs, which cost more, but it's the only vehicle we can get this year. If we ordered the Chargers when you approve this budget, we wouldn't get them until the next year, because there's only one production car sedan that they're making now, and that's Dodge Charger, and it's in such demand. So if there's any way next year that we can bring this up, that we can get a letter to them and say, you know, we're going to buy four cars July 1 of 2021, then we can go ahead and order those things, and we won't be in a situation where we had to buy a more expensive vehicle. So what we have with the rollover money, the money we saved, because we were pretty frugal last year, that's going to put us maybe in four cars.
Very tight for four.
Very tight for four cars. something happens to another vehicle, I'll have to come back to you. You know, but the 218 is pretty consistent. We can, you know, that's why we put that in there. That's going to, we're going to try to stick to that number as we go along. But we can't, with the manufacturers, we can't, you know, predict what, if they quit making the chargers, then each car is going to cost us about $6,000 more. So
would,
and that's an industry wide.
Would it not be in this year if you don't pay it out until 2021?
No, ma'am. For the 20 the year 2021, which would be our 22 budget, mm-hmm. If we get a letter, then we can order those cars and they would be here in July.
What's the ordering date?
Typically it's right about this time of the year. However, because of the shortage with the chargers, Chrysler actually moved their date. We had to order it by November of last year. And even with that order date, they actually had to cut 10% of those orders off because they're such short supply because Ford stopped making the sedan. Nobody else makes a sedan, so everybody went to the Charger. The Charger's $24,000 a unit, where the next cheapest vehicle you can get is a Dodge Durango. That's about $31,000 a unit. So right there, we already had to pay $6,000 more just for the same car. The other thing to factor in is if we don't keep the Charger, you know, we have the partitions, which are fit for the cage. So if we switch to the SUVs, now we can't transfer the interior equipment out, the consoles and the things don't fit. And
right.
Some of that's planned obsolescence by the manufacturer, obviously. But with the cars, it was just everybody wanted to get the cars so they could get them. And there was some issue with the transmission because I think Chinese made parts or whatever the case may be. So it really was a bad, worse year for cars. But typically it's right around spring is the cutoff, usually about May, April at the latest. But this with the Charger, they push it to November because they knew it was going to be such a shortage.
So right. Basically, if you were to try to order them now, you're going to be a year out. You're going to have a year.
Charger actually, there's even more extreme delay. They pushed them back. They're not. You can't get any. If you order them in November, you weren't guaranteed them until maybe December of this year.
Wow.
Oh, there's actually a year to 18 months away because of such short supply. Because there's no money in cars anymore. Mm-hmm. So they don't dedicate much of their lines to vehicles, much less fleet vehicles, because there's really no money in fleet vehicles. So if you can sell a, you know, civilian version Durango for $50,000, you're going to sell as many of those and make as many of those as you can and just do a very limited amount of the cars. So it's and at some point they're going to stop making cars unless the market changes, they're going to have to buy SUVs.
Well, what that'll do is we'll balance our fleet so we have, you know, if we get 2 feet of snow, that Charger's not going anywhere, mm-hmm. even though it does really well in 2 or 3 inches, what we normally get. So you have to have those backup SUVs to be able to get through those snows and provide the services that we need. So this will be a balancing year. With the money we have carried over in this, we'll get us 4, but we really need 5. But, I mean, that's you're talking about, we would need another $45,000 to, and remember that includes the new equipment for the vehicles too. So
any questions on the sheriff's vehicles or the sheriff's requests? Let's go to fire and rescue next. Let's go look at vehicle apparatus replacement. So go to the CIP request. I included $64,000, which is to replace Chief One's vehicle. Go to the next page. They requested $635,000 and blow that up way bigger, please. As for Attack 20 for Fork Union, which is $185,000, Response 5 for Lake Monticello, which is $96,000, and then Lake Monticello was requesting ambulance for $290,000. And then, as I said, I funded Chief One's vehicle. And I've got Chief Mayo here, and he can answer any questions. I would assume, basically, on the apparatus.
Sure. If you have any questions, I'll try and answer them.
What if we were funding some of the vehicles from debt?
Yes. So the current fiscal year, no.
No. Okay.
No. Current last fiscal year, for last budget, the board said, let's fund these two. Well, there was one engine or tanker, and then Fork Union had one in, which was actually supposed to be in this year, but the board said let's move it up 1 year. So there's two vehicles that are funded with debt in the current fiscal year as we stand right now, and the board just approved some additional debt funding for those vehicles. And then these are
in addition.
These are in addition.
What is it? Did you look to see what the current rate is?
You know, I talked to the VRA, and they're saying right around 3% was their last pool. So they're not going to necessarily say what it is currently at today. They're just telling me what the last pool funded at.
Yeah, interest rates have changed.
Yeah, they have changed, yeah.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
Yeah. So.
But honestly, on a vehicle thing, I would probably, and honestly, we just need to talk to our financial advisor, but I mean, you know, I would assume we could probably get something 2.5% or less than that.
Yeah, inflation's more than that. So.
Yeah, when we did, even, you know, this was when we did some equipment leases some years back, we were actually in the 2% range, but this was, you know, about 2-3 years ago. So I think we could probably do in the 2-2.5% range if we did an RFP for some equipment lease money or something like that.
I mean, again, you've got inflation 2%. At best, and you know, some of these vehicles are going to increase more from that standpoint. And cost of money will never be this cheap again. So, in my opinion, if we're looking at trying to catch up, you know, being able to use some of the excess money that we've been able to save here and allocate a portion of that towards CIP projects that require significant investments, because we can't use fund balance for those because we don't have the fund balance to do it.
This is not catching up. This is just.
Not going behind.
This is just yearly replacements. Because right. Next year,
but if we're not,
it'll make this one look tiny.
Right. So that's my point. Is
there's going to be another replacing one, I'm telling you right now. There'll be trucks that cost more than that entire lift.
Right.
So how many miles are on these vehicles?
I don't know.
Go ahead, Chris. When it comes to fire apparatus, you look more at the hours than you do the miles. Because of time setting with the pumps running and stuff, that motor's running, that's what turns your pumps and things. So the hours is the big thing. Now, the ambulances, obviously, probably the miles is more.
Can't you replace those motors since they run when the vehicle isn't running? And like you say, it has more wear and tear on it. Can you replace those motors or not?
If the pump runs, the truck runs.
Okay.
So it's idling.
Yeah.
Is there a reason that the county couldn't get into a practice of doing more of a refurb after 10 years instead of buying
brand new?
A refurb will typically get you five more years, 10 years maybe. And it depends on the shape of the truck when that time comes around too, you know.
A Tacky 20, I think, has been moved back at least once. I can't speak for the ambulances.
Brush 30 is a good example of a refurb that got some extra time out of, but it was in good shape when it was a TAC 30.
What is an TAC 20 vehicle?
A TAC 20 right now is currently what's considered a mini pumper, which is basically a small version of a
fire truck.
Fire engine. We're asking for money to replace it with a traditional brush unit, which is a lot less expensive than a mini pumper. Mini pumpers now are going anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000. I think a traditional brush truck would be much better suited for our area. And to add to that, Kent Store's Attack 30 is rated as a mini pumper, and I'm not sure that we need to in the county. Mm-hmm. I think one would suffice. So
that should be a brush truck rather than an attack.
Yeah, and that was just I think the last brush truck we bought was the Lakes, that was 170 something.
I thought that was 270 something.
No. I don't know. But anyway, that's where those numbers come from.
It seems like to me we should have a set way to buy these vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you need a fire truck, you need a fire truck. If you need a pumper, you need a pumper. And we should have a list of what we are and what they are and what they cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening, appears to me anyway, is people are buying supposedly the same kind of thing for very different amounts of money. And it would seem like to me the county would want to have some kind of standard list of equipment, but that's just my thought.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Sure it is.
Very good.
I mean, yeah. I've argued in the past. I don't like voting on individual trucks. I'm not I mean, I've heard from several people, we got burned on the last one. That really makes me mad that somebody feels like we can be taken advantage of or not taken advantage of. I don't know. I'm not an expert in it. And it just, I hate voting on trucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, a school bus is a school bus. I get that. But this kind of stuff,
school buses can be decked out too.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's not, you know, you're not talking about, you know, is the brush truck 180 versus, you know, the Humber 250,000. I don't know what that means.
I don't even know what it looks like.
Yeah, I just think it's unfair to ask us, who aren't experts in this, to make these decisions based on individual departments' needs, as opposed to all the departments getting together and saying, here are our needs, and here's how we're going to achieve those needs over a period of time.
Maybe Eric can design a system to do that.
I mean, we could come forward with, you know, like I said, I would have to understand more, a little bit more on the levels of apparatus that are out there. And then kind of going through and saying, okay, well, if you have this, this is the dollar amount. If you have this, this is the dollar amount. If you have this, this is the dollar amount. Because obviously, you know, in a tack or a brush or in pumper or a tanker, they're all going to be different tiers, different levels at what they cost. And, you know, I mean, use an example also for the ambulance, the same thing. You know, the county funded, now granted, and I talked to John Lai about this, they're asking for an ambulance for $290,000. Well, the county funded $190,000. Now granted, that doesn't include a $40,000 power load, power cut. So, you know, we funded $190,000 plus $40,000, that's $230,000. So there's a difference between the $290,000 and the $260,000. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? I mean, you know, it kind of goes back to the fire trucks too. I just don't know enough. I'm not in this world every day. I don't know what the difference is. I mean, I obviously know the difference between, you know, between 290 and 230, though.
That's a problem with all of us there, you know.
Who is the chief?
What do you want to know specifically? I mean, I can try and answer your question if I have a specific question.
I think what we're saying is
it would take hours to explain each piece of apparatus.
I think what we're trying to say is we're not competent.
We're not interested in the apparatus. We're not interested in your telling us this apparatus. We're interested in your saying, here's our long-term need. We as a group, based on, you know, the lake needs this size truck, this needs that size truck, based on what we have right now, this is what we're going to need over the next 10 years. You know, and to fund that, let's say that's $20 million in equipment that you're going to need over the next 10 years. It's going to cost $2 million a year, and the cost of that is going to be $200,000 a month or whatever the case may be. This is what we're going to do in order to achieve that. You know, and then that's a plan. And then instead of us buying a truck, we're bringing in debt to make those purchases and allocating the revenue in the budget that way.
You're basically looking for me to tell you, hey, I need $1.5 million. Here it is, and I can allocate it however you feel.
No. $1.5 million.
No, ten years or whatever.
I mean, you know, whatever the name. In other words,
as a group,
fire and rescue has come to the decision that over the next 10 years, you're going to need these types of equipment. This is a replacement cycle for it, and it's going to cost this much. And then, you know, we figure out how to pay that money.
But I think the key thing is needs.
But we end up doing this. This is the problem, is we end up going like, okay, you asked for, what's the total?
$600,000,
and we're funding $64,000.
So these are...
Because we're taking this out of fund balance, right? And we don't have money in fund balance to buy these things. Okay? That's the problem. We don't have the money in fund balance to buy these things. So I can tell you, next year it's not going to be any better. And so that $290,000 truck won't be there, you know. So I mean, we're going to end up in the same problem. So we can't take it out of fund balance. The other thing
that we're asking is there's a huge discrepancy in the price of vehicles.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Now it doesn't matter to me where you're looking at or where you're coming from. There's a huge discrepancy in trucks, and the only one up here who's ever run a fire call is me, and I don't know enough about the trucks. I mean, I can drive them, I can make them pump water, and I can go, I know where the tools are. But as far as pricing and anything else, I've never been to a chief's clinic, I've never been to a convention, I've never been to any of those things. So I guess consistency is probably the best thing that we're asking for, because with consistency, we at least have an idea. But understand that there ain't no money tree growing out back. There just isn't. I wish I was driving a Tesla. That way I could sleep on the way to work. Okay? I could actually rest.
You can afford it?
Great tax credits. No, you said tax credits.
Mr. Weaver? Yes, sir. My county salary will pay me to buy a Tesla. I only have to be on the board about 30 more years than you've already been there. And I'm not taking a shot at anyone. That's what we need.
So outside of this, Mike, these are planned out for NFPA standards, whatever, over the next
10 years.
Forever, for a long time. But are you looking for like a standard spec for each type of apparatus or something? Is that what you all are asking for?
I guess one thing, though, I mean, we all have it. County has vehicles. We have old vehicles that need to be replaced. Sheriff's got vehicles. Schools have buses. And obviously fire and rescue apparatus, but I think it's more than just, if there may be a standard that says 20 years, but because something says 20 years doesn't mean you need to replace it necessarily at 20 years. But maybe that's the way. If we could do that, ideally that would be fantastic. If we could do that with all of our equipment, if every county vehicle, we replace it after 7 years, every school bus, we replace it after, I think they said the standard's 15 years, but they pushed theirs out to 20. So I understand there's a standard, but I think we need to be realistic in how we're moving forward with what that standard is.
Well, look what Charlottesville Fire Department is going through. Same thing. Has anyone solved this problem? Is there any model? Because I can't see you putting a 10-year list and think that things are not going to go up. Things are coming different. I don't think you can say.
I can't speak for ambulances, but fire trucks go up 3-5% every year.
Oh yeah, no, I don't mean have a flat amount. Like it would, let's say this year we start off and we said for a tanker it's X amount of dollars, and for an engine or a pumper it's X amount of dollars, and then those go up every year. We base it on like a flat, I don't know, say 3% every year, and maybe it's, you know, 100,000 this year, next year it's 103,000, and so on and so forth. And those tiers go up whatever percentage.
You got $600,000 worth of equipment there.
Yep.
If the budgetary allocation towards the replacement of fire engine trucks was $200,000 a year, well, in 3 years you'd have those $600,000, and you go to the next year, you got another $800,000 there. We're not caught up yet, but we're catching up. Okay, but instead of us coming in and saying, oh no, we're only going to do $64,000, there's $200,000 allocated, you know, in debt, you know, in debt servicing, whatever that debt service buys you, then allows you to buy the trucks, is really what I'm saying. It's the same argument with like the school budget, you know.
I just used the wrong number. I used 1.5 instead of 200,000.
So it's just a debt servicing thing. What are we doing as far as debt servicing?
And how many, could you give us a list of all of the equipment that we have in the county? All of the fire engines, ambulances, yes, the different kind of trucks.
Do you want it off the top of my head, or do you mean email me?
No, I want you to write it out for me. How would you use that? Because then I could see, oh, we have 22 trucks, or we have one truck, you know, we don't know. And we've been told that it's hard
20.
To get... What? 24 trucks. Okay, and then we don't have that many.
That's including Lake Monticello or not? Lake Monticello. Fire trucks, not ambulances.
I dug it down to 7 ambulances.
Okay.
It's 24 trucks and 7 ambulances.
I believe it's 7.
It is. We have, the county has 3, Lake Monticello has 4.
We don't have that many, didn't
we?
A lot of ambulances?
We just bought one.
No.
Actually, we have a lot.
We're holding off on that right now.
Okay, so you haven't expended that.
No.
Even though, okay.
So the other thing you got to look at too is we can give you a list of our fire trucks, but I'm going to use engines because they're the most
costly.
Well, costly, and they got a little bit more to them than the rest of the trucks. every one of them is built different.
Right.
Every one of them is built for their area. They can be built so many different ways. There's so many options you can have on it or take off of it. There's commercial cabs, there's custom cabs, there's, and this is with any manufacturer or whatever, and they all stick pretty close with their pricing, unfortunately, and it's just.
We do have a method, don't we? I mean, we do have a method, if you all know.
I'm not saying they don't have a method in terms of figuring out. We don't have a method of funding it. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Right? So well, because we have a method of funding it, well, we're making decisions on individual trials.
If you guys want a better way to be able to make these decisions, and you know, you get some feedback and some of it's based off of opinion, and I don't want to get myself upset, but because some things have gone on the last couple of days, but.
Well, but the problem is we don't really need that strife that you guys are having internally.
No.
Playing out here, right, if that's what I mean.
I think we're open to ideas on how to do this better. We're not closed-minded about it at all.
And I've gotten the impression that we have fewer and fewer volunteers. Is that true?
I think rescue struggled some, but the fire department is.
All of us have our moments.
You're going to have your waves, Mr.
Everyone goes up and down.
10 years ago, we ran every call in Kent's door with 5 people. Mm-hmm. For, what, Dwayne, 6, 7, 8 years?
Yeah.
I mean, there's 5 of us, and I was the middle guy in age. There were a couple younger, a couple older, but we ran them all. Now we probably have 20 people running calls in Kent's door. You're going to catch waves of that when you're involuntary.
But when that happens, none of our stations are that low at one time. So like when Kent Storrs got a shortage, everybody helps them out. When we have a shortage, you know, they come in and help us out. And we've Mike, would you agree? We've traditionally been pretty good about that.
You know, it's like today. They had a brush fire call, and I didn't know how many people were going to get out. And I just looked at the people that I work with and said, they don't have enough people, get out, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. And the school's been really nice and really good about that. That they'll let me. If I think it's bad enough, they'll let me go home. And they'll cover it.
The recruitment and retention is another, I don't think that's in Mr. Dole's. But one more.
We don't want to talk about it if it's not on the list. So.
Right.
I haven't heard anybody clearly verbalize what the cancer insurance is. So, yeah, 584 plus 299 plus
12.
A hazmat trailer.
You can scratch out.
2024.
2023.
317, 209, 317.
So, I mean, you're averaging $600,000.
Go to 2025. And then you have a ladder truck for $1.6 million.
$2 million, right? No, but that's what I'm saying. If you look at all those requests, you know, you're at like $4 million, right? And that's only in the next 5 years. And we're funding $64,000.
No, I.
So what are we doing? We're kicking the can down the road, right? That's all we're doing, right? That's it. I mean, you have $4 million, you're funding $64,000.
Well, we need to be putting our time on finding some kind of solution.
What I'm trying to say is that you don't have it in fund balance.
The only thing we can do is we can either, you can cut things elsewhere, or you can increase the tax rate.
Right.
That's at this moment right now, that's all you can do. Now, we are working on doing economic development to change that, but that's not going to be an overnight thing. So at this point, it's debt service, increase the tax rate, or where are we cutting? And if you want to do substantial cuts, I included a second ambulance crew for $182,000. Cut that, and then there's your debt service.
And I suggested that.
cutting the ambulance?
Yes.
But then you have no ambulances.
I think that would be, I don't think that would be a good idea.
No, the one you have added, no.
We already have.
$182,000. $182,000, yes.
For 12 of those issues.
That's new.
Yes.
That's people.
But that's new.
Yes.
That's the new one that we haven't had, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what we, it's what we need, and we probably don't, it's probably not funded enough.
We don't have enough.
But it hasn't been funded in the past.
No, sir, we talked about needing that.
No, because we don't have volunteers.
But what we need to know is how many times have we had to call Louisa, Goochland, or Buckingham into Blue Bend County to run calls, to cover our calls?
I would say it was, out of last year, we had 2,000 calls, and it was over 250 calls that we had used outside counties coming in to cover our calls.
One out of every 8 calls, we had to call for somebody else during the daytime, 90% of the time.
That's Cumberland, Buckingham, it's Louisa.
This is the 12-hour shift during the daytime, so we're trying to cover that.
Is that strong enough?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Is that something y'all like to see numbers and get it out of dispatch?
No, we already have those. Debbie has those.
I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I would say 1 out of 8.
It's 250.
Especially because of the daytime, you know.
220, 260, it's right now.
I've sat there and listened to 5 calls coming at one time.
They've also come in multiple times in a day. Just last week, they came in twice in one day. Louisa County did.
Probably likely to go up.
It will
happen. But I mean, if you look at it,
if you look at it this way, you say those 250 calls, if we run those with the extra day crew, then the day crew will pay for itself.
Well, we'll get cost recovery.
So that's what I'm saying. Cost recovery averages about $600.
Right now, the other counties are getting cost recovery and coming into our county.
So when they come to help us, we have to pay them?
We don't pay them. They get to bill the patients and the insurance company for those calls.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, that's
well, I mean, so drive yourself.
Those days
if you're not having a heart attack, you're
a little
bit past
the days when the phone would ring the house and they'd yell, put your pants on and hurry up.
I mean, what is the current debt service for trucks in the budget right now? What we did last year?
We originally had $1,345,000. We took 2 of those out and cash funded them, which left us with $1,060,000.
We took $190 out for an ambulance, which we haven't spent
yet. Now we're back up to 1.245 because of last week's meeting. We just added the additional
That's the debt or the debt service?
Well, no, that's the debt.
That's the debt.
So what's the debt
service? It's $65,000, I think, is what we had as a wedge.
So here's the point. You got $4 million coming up right now. Let's say you got to borrow over the course of 8-9 years of that, right? Yeah, and that's assuming low interest rates. So that's $400,000 a year over 9 years, or $450,000. We're currently funding $64,000, and that doesn't even get you into the next cycle of the full period of time, just for the, you know, just for the next 3 years worth of trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that if we want to maintain a fleet and a life cycle management that has been agreed and looked at by the county and the FRA in the long run, we need to build to a sustainable level of debt funding that allows us to buy these trucks, because it's not realistic to think that in year 2025 we're going to spend $2 million on trucks. It's just not realistic. It's not going to happen. You know, so we have to start building up debt funding for vehicles that starts to align in place with the replacement cycle.
Didn't we come up with a figure? What was that for?
It's on. If you go to the
go to
the budget sheet.
Yeah, close that out. And go to
scroll
that
over
way.
Till you get to
that
black tab.
That black tab, the debt service. Go
right,
there.
Click there.
Oh yeah, he did.
So
okay.
Here, so put
if you put four
so
million.
Put four
in
million.
There.
Put 2.5% interest in there.
No, first fire partner. 2.5.
So the debt service payment's $457,000.
I'm not suggesting we do that this year.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that we've got to start saying, okay, we're at $64,000 in debt service now. Do we allocate $100,000 in debt service next year? And then the next year we allocate another $100,000 so that eventually we get to a sustainable level that matches in line with the replacement cycle. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. You're saying just increase the debt service incrementally every year?
Correct. And if the FRA knew that that was going to happen at this level, then they might be able to plan within, plan better within what their replacement cycle will be, because they can't plan right now because they don't know what they're going to get.
Correct.
So it seems to me that the way we solve that is just to say, okay, we're committed to getting to 400,000, whatever the right number is. I mean, there's a preliminary discussion around that, but over the next 5 years, can't commit future boards, I know all that, but the direction of the, and the current will of the board is to bring, you know, debt service levels to fund a replacement cycle in line with, you know, the real needs of the county.
That was kind of why we kind of had somewhat balance of...
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm just, yeah, just, you know, pointing out that the current system is broken.
All right, so go back to the... Oh, go back to CIP. So again, 64, asked for 635. Heart monitor replacement. The heart monitors are aging out and they're at end of life in 2022. So this was in a process to kind of just get them replaced by that time period. So there was 200,000 in this year. And again, I kicked 100,000 of it, the can down the road until next year. And maybe there's an opportunity to do some type of grant for that, an RSAF grant.
We could look into it. I think they may be out in 23.
23, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then the CPR assist devices, you know, it's 50,673. Again, it's one thing, and the only reason it wasn't funded is just trying to fit everything within a number that we have to fund out of cash. And it's one EMS agency will allow it, one will not. And those are just for I don't know what the quantity is, and Debbie's not here, but anyway, it was $50,000. Go down to schools. Again, 200 for capital reserve. We talked about the computer infrastructure replacement. They asked for 75 and I didn't fund it because they were just trying to carry the money over year after year to build. And if we could do that with everything where we had a kind of build and then the year that the actual thing had to be replaced, we replaced it, that would be ideal. But we just don't. We've got more pressing things to do, and to build $75,000 a year for year after year is, I just didn't include it. Again, Carriersbrook Elementary, we talked about this, $1.5 million. Again, we would fund balance do that. That would be a debt service. And as I said, when you have $1.5 million for Carriersbrook and you've got Central West Central bathroom remodel at 1.25 the next fiscal year, and then again talking about the Abrams abatement and whole remodel there, we would just, well, For infrastructure like that, and you could do the same thing for apparatus, that would be more of a debt service purchase, a debt service funding level for something like that, and maybe do it all at once. School safety vestibules, $125,000, that was included. Again, just like the county, they asked for paving and resurfacing for $100,000. Generators, go down Liz, 75, that wasn't included. And then middle school annex floor and bleachers for 175. And then they asked for...
I was going to say, as far as the middle school floor and bleachers and annex gym, mm-hmm. They just redid that. Yeah. They just did that.
Those?
I'll talk to you later about it. But that...
Hang on.
What's that?
Yeah, they took our pickleball courts off and redid them.
I understand for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to you later about it.
Okay. And again, the Abrams Academy, as I said, they had a little bit kind of phased every year after year. You know, and if we do that, I know they may not be able to do the whole project over one summer, but when we did the middle school project, we took out a big amount of debt service and we did it over, you know, we did it over a couple summers, we did it over a winter break. So again, I think if we're gonna do it, let's do it right, bid out the whole project at one point and get it done in a certain period of time.
School buses, they asked for 600, I funded 3. And then student transport vehicles, asking for 75, and I funded 50. So is there anything that...
Going back to that annex gym thing, the floor, we ought not really have to worry about it. The bleachers are the same bleachers I sat on in 1975. So the boards are a little bit...
When did we get some new bleachers in one of the schools?
The middle school got new bleachers and had work
in the main gym. Middle school got in the main gym, yeah. This is for the annex gym.
They came back and recuperated the ones that they put in when we did the big project.
Yep.
They put in air conditioning in every room except for where I am.
Except where you are.
I told them I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Alex, what?
You want to go down or...
No, I see 2024, 2025.
Yep. You want to go all the way up to the top?
No, I just need to see the top number figure.
Yep.
Okay, so between 21 and 25,
yep,
we're allocating $41 million, but yet this year we're only spending
$1.5
million out of fund balance.
Yep.
So I asked the board, where's the other $38.5 million going to come from over the next 4 years?
I was just saying, we're not addressing CIP properly. And we are not taking advantage of debt funding properly right now. We're just not. I mean, we've got $500,000, and we're looking at one penny raise. $500,000 will buy you $5-6 million worth of debt right now. Maybe a little bit more.
So what would the board what would the board want to fund right now if we were to do debt service to take some?
I don't have an answer to that right now. Yeah. I think that would be the kind of thing that you guys would sit down and say, we looked at this. This is the rates that we could get. Here's the kind of pool that we could put together, and here's what that would look like. You know, and here's what we feel is most pressing based on all these things. But this hodgepodge approach of trying to do what we're doing right now is not going to work.
There's a new administration building in that
party. Mm-hmm. It is. There's
and a social service.
It's 15 million. Let's go.
Let me slide
over so I can see where it is. Go down. Stop right there. So it's 640 in for design is in 2022. 6.5 million is in 2023, 7.3 million is in 2024.
You got 13 million out of the 14 million, but that still leaves.
And when does the radio project disappear?
Yeah. What's that?
And I'm not saying everything that's on there needs to be on there.
No. When does the radio project disappear?
The radio
24.
Radio project disappears right around there.
End of 23.
Right around 23-24 is when the $1.1 million debt service falls off.
Well, that gives us an opportunity to catch up more at that point in time, too. But personally, I think we should be looking at not using fund balance for a lot of the things that is in the current proposed year, leveraging debt for that. Because, again, our fund balance is getting very dangerously low.
Okay. I mean, we can go back and we can try and take a look and come up with projects, but I guess I would need for the board to say we want to, I mean, we could nominally put in a number and say, what do they feel comfortable with funding and debt service? And then we could come back and say, well, we should, you know, include this project, and this project, something, things that would fit into that particular bucket. But having that debt service number in there first, that's kind of what we would need to go off of. And then we could say, this is what we could fund, here's what the rates are. You know, because obviously all of them are going to be a little different. If it's a building, you know, we're going to...
Start with just vehicles.
Okay.
Just start with vehicles for the fire, sheriff, schools. And just look at what the real vehicle needs are. And at least that gives us one very solid number that we can focus on. And that, you know, we build into the budget what the real replacement cycle is around those, and then we figure out, maybe it's a, you know, it's a $400,000 increase this year, and 3 years from now we get it to $800,000. I don't know what the number is, but you know what the, you know,
sheriff's
where I'm headed on that.
Sheriff and Captain Wells, sheriff's vehicles only about 5 years replacement.
Not the road vehicles. Maybe we have 4.
Well, you figure we roughly have about 38 vehicles, and we only ask for 5 a year. That's 7 years.
So that you put together a giant spreadsheet.
I'm just trying to get an idea of
just vehicles. Leave that, and we just focus on vehicles for right now.
On average, it's a 7-year cycle. On average.
Okay.
Because we have to shovel the road, people get to do cars, and then as they get miles on, we give them to the court people. As long as we have one, a new car in the courts for long distance transports, the others are shorter, so they, you know, they get the hand down, but it is what it is.
What do social service vehicles look like? You don't look like you have a lot of them, social service vehicles.
We have eight.
You have to say.
And so we, in fiscal year 20, we replaced two, which is why we're not asking for any replacements in fiscal year 21, but definitely fiscal year 22, we'll need at least one replacement per year, probably after that.
And I would add that I think, you know, the individual budget line items at the department level need to reflect allocated amounts that were put together in the past for debt service levels. You know, an example in the schools, you know, $50,000 was allocated to the regular budget, and yet we did that analysis that showed, and maybe I was wrong, maybe it was more than 50, I can't remember, we did that analysis that showed that it wasn't consistently applied that way year over year. But in other words, if we know that we said, oh, we're going to treat, you know, Google laptops, you know, Google Chromebooks as a regular budgetary line item, and there's $50,000 in there at the school board level, then we've already allocated this amount of money for the replacement of instructional equipment that is computers, right? Likewise, you know, if the department number then becomes that we are allocating $100,000 for, you know, the sheriff's office per year, then it's in his budget line item there that we've got $100,000 allocated in servicing for debt for vehicles. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the board doesn't lose sight of, oh wait, that's in their regular budget line already.
You're saying put the debt, you're saying allocate the cost of the debt service to their individual budget?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that you know that that's already allocated in there.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to see how that rolls
you're
out.
Right? Next year, not this one.
Yeah, I'm not gonna, you know, so that we know that okay, yeah, this is already in there, so that vehicles don't show back up on the CIP because we've got a vehicle plan for the next 10 years. That's the example.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Like the schools, I think they said then you had 66 bus routes. Okay, if you're on a 20-year replacement cycle, four years should be all you'd ever need.
Yeah, I think they said they need.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay, we'll crunch some numbers on vehicle replacements for all, and we'll work it out based upon, you know, 5 years maybe for a sheriff's vehicle term, you know, 10 years for fire truck apparatus, and we'll look at, we'll kind of see what else is out there and see what we can come up with. Okay, so CIP, so I think that's pretty well. That horse is ready to go out to the pasture. Okay. Right. Go back just to the budget balance sheet. I think pretty much, I mean, unless the board has anything else that they want to discuss or do with, I mean, like I said, you know, we have 573 surplus right now. We need some information on the schools on what they're including in their salary stuff. And then we're going to come back to the board with some debt service numbers on apparatus, and we can go from there. I guess we have $1.5 million funded.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm saying we have $1.5 million funded. So, is the intent to try and not use that $1.5 million this year in fund balance for CIP or maybe for certain projects?
I think the less that we use out of fund balance, yeah, the better off we are. I mean, because it is so low.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay. So unless the board has any other questions or any other options, I think we can close the work session.
We're gonna have the schools here next week then to address some of their questions.
Yep.
And I do want to remind everybody that we've got to have an advertised tax rate at the end of next week's meeting because it has to hit the paper that week.
So we have a budget work session next Wednesday at 4 p.m. from 4 to 6 p.m. and then at 7 p.m. we have the regular meeting, and we have to put some numbers into the advertisements at that point. So at the end of the work session we have to have numbers ready to go.
I got a text message from Mr. Winkler. I left him a message about that 2% thing. He does not have the information right now. We have to wait until the state finalizes, hopefully next week.
You know, there's one other thing that we need to bring up too. Jessica, do you want to talk about this too? And I'm sorry to bring this up last minute. The comp board stuff has kind of a curveball that we just got a memo on.
We received a memo yesterday that part of what they're voting on tomorrow at the state level is a 2% bonus for our constitutional offices and their staff. And it would be in December of this year, so it'd be for FY21. So it's 2% of the salary, the comp board approved salary for only the funded positions though. So like, for example, here in the county, not all of our constitutional officers and their staff are funded by the comp board. And so we would end up receiving compensation from the state for a 2% bonus for only a few people in each office and not everybody. We do have the option to not accept that, or we have the option to offer it across the board or to just the officers and their staff. So that's just another thing that came out yesterday.
Well, wonderful stuff from the comp board at the last minute.
Do we have the option of giving them the money and letting them separate it the way they see fit?
No, because they have to give the 2% to those comp
board,
those comp board approved positions.
So you could have five people in an office and three of them get raises and two of them get bonuses and two of them don't.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
So that's all I have.
Okay.
So with that, we've got some closed session stuff. Everyone else can go, and then we'll have some brief stuff here, and then it'll be pretty quick.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.
Do you need a laptop, Eric? Do you need a laptop?
Okay. I've disconnected, but I'll reconnect you really quick.
We'll make sure she's not recorded. Eric.
Yes. Mr. Weaver, you want to meet here tomorrow?
Yes.
You want your right?
Oh, yes.
I forgot, yeah. Right.
Yes.
Okay, you want me to meet over here?
Yep.
3 o'clock.
Yep. 3 o'clock.
Yep.
I'll take that. All right. I'll take that.
Okay. Well, I guess we can. Oh, you leave?
Here, yeah. You can sit, Brian. Yeah, go
ahead. All right, Mr. O'Brien.
We might want to add.
Public safety. We can have public safety.
And Eric, please sit over there.
Coronavirus.
Oh, we can talk. Yeah.
Do you want me to shut it?
Yes.
There was a lot of stuff that happened during a meeting, by the way, about coronavirus.
Oh, really?
NBA had to cancel their season.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move the Bannock County Board of Supervisors in a closed session meeting pursuant to provisions of Section 2.2-3711A3, Section 2.2-3711A6, and Section 2.2-3711A19 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing real estate, investment of funds, and public safety.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We are now in closed session.
Mr. Chair, I move to close meeting the adjournment of the Savannah County Board of Supervisors to meet again in open session. The result, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Okay.